Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 39 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I am Lou. Welcome, as always. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget you can visit us on Facebook by going to our page there and becoming a fan. And as we always like to remind you, please go to iTunes and what do I want to tell people? Subscribe, right?
And, yeah, and leave us a review.
My subscriptions don't work still. I don't know what is going on. I never even get our own podcast.
Yeah, we'll have our iTunes rant
okay.
later.
Yeah. and don't forget to leave us a rating and a review because we greatly appreciate it. And, of course, you can always send email to us at podcast@pause.com. We almost always answer those, unless they're from our family.
Then they usually don't even listen anyway.
Then they usually just get deleted. So, family members, you have been warned. Any shout-outs or anything like that?
No, but we should mention we have something special on the show today.
We do. We have a special thing for you today. It's our first interview.
Yes.
Last night's episode of The Office featured a scene where Michael, Dwight, and Andy go to a restaurant, and their server at the restaurant is somebody who you used to work with and
yes,
who
friend
you
of mine.
Were friends with.
Deborah Pewett.
Yeah, that's right. And so we took the opportunity to interview Deborah about just what it was like working with the Office cast and, you know, just talking to her about other stuff that she's working on these days. So we'll play that for you a little bit later in the TV section. But for now, let's get right into it. What have you been playing?
Wow, we did just get right into it.
Well, you got something else?
I don't know. I thought you would have eased me into it a little bit.
No,
we'll jump right in.
No.
I want to jump
right
in.
I just like to push.
Because, yeah, you are a little pushy.
I am.
I do want to jump right in because I've been playing Uncharted 2.
Okay, on the PS3.
The best game of the year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's awesome.
Even better. I was trying
to think
of
something.
It's
hard for me to even be here.
I was trying to... I don't think you're kidding about that either.
I'm not kidding.
I
have a lot of time off this week. So.
I've seen a number of people post stuff on Facebook about how they just could not tear themselves away from it.
Have you gotten any tweets about it?
You know what?
This is the first game I've ever seen that you can hook it to Twitter. So when you finish a level, it tweets that you finished that level.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So
although,
I did it.
Although vaguely pointless. Really?
Completely. It is pointless. But
then again, so
I mean,
all
that's
of
the
Twitter.
First integration I've seen of Twitter and
right.
anything.
And,
console
and a game.
Based anyway.
Yeah, right.
Well, an iPhone has tons of them.
Yeah.
But.
No, you know, I both with Facebook and Twitter, I don't really check them on any kind of regular basis. Like, you know, there are some days when I check one or the other more than I do on other days, but I mean, just lately I've been too busy.
Right.
So, especially
on your
Twitter.
MySpace page. You've been too busy with your MySpace page.
No, I haven't been on there in forever. I think the last time I updated was like February.
Not forever.
Well, no, I changed my background and that's it.
Yeah.
And I put up a different playlist or something like that. But it's such a mess. It's no wonder they've been bleeding.
I've never
employees.
Even used it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a disaster, basically. But that's fine. Whatever. I don't care. But what I was saying was that I saw a lot of references, you know, especially on Tuesday,
right.
to people saying they just couldn't tear themselves away from it. So again, for the people who didn't play the first one and who...
Well, you know, I have to say, the first one was kind of like a story in itself that wraps up, so this doesn't really... you don't have to play the first one to play this one.
No, but I mean, in terms of the genre, it's the same genre, right, as the first one?
Yes, and you know what? They really did a great job of taking the strengths from the first one and expounding on those, and like added a little stealth element to it, which.
Oh
thank
no!
God,
do you have to cover.
It's very. Yeah, there is. Well, you had to in the first one too, but it's not. It's you know, I'm not a fan of that either.
I hate that.
I'm not a fan of it either, but it works in this game.
Yeah,
you're not in cover.
Do you have to do it all the time?
Because
I don't like it when
no,
you have
not all
to
the,
do
no.
it.
No, I mean you can run and gun, but I mean it's. You know,
yeah.
Here's the thing: in the first game, the combat areas, and because it's a combination, like you know, there's a lot of combat in it, and then there's a lot of like exploration and like platforming, I guess, because you're climbing and you know,
right.
jumping and swinging. But in the first one, you always knew where the combat was coming because you get to an area where there's just all these places that are obviously cover.
Right
here, it's cool because it's not as
much
obvious.
More integrated and
yes,
yeah.
And so it. It flows better in this one.
Right.
But no, I mean, cover is necessary, but it's not. No, it's not like Gears of War where you have to be in cover.
Right. You have to do it all the time.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, that's good.
But I have to say, the game is absolutely gorgeous. When you get to like, there's this one area where in Nepal and you're in this like kind of like destructed city, like little town. Well, it's been destroyed.
Yeah.
What did I say?
You said,
did I make up a word? I made up a word, didn't I?
Well, I think as a past tense of destruction,
yeah,
it's maybe not a real word.
Whatever.
I'm just saying.
I'm very good at math. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely gorgeous.
You're very good at math, and he likes to make fun of people who are playing games that use math, like who's got the biggest brain, until he plays them himself and realizes how hard it is when you're under the pressure of the clock.
Who's got the biggest brain right now, and who's got the biggest brain?
I haven't played the biggest brain in a long time. If I had, I would have the biggest brain.
That's a challenge.
Okay.
That's a challenge.
All right, fine.
Everyone is just witness.
Fine. No, nobody's witness because I haven't edited yet.
Well, then you'll be sure to edit out me using the word destructed.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so anyway.
But just the detail, the level of detail in this game, it's just, it's amazing.
Now, who's the developer?
Naughty Dog.
Naughty Dog. What else have they done?
Uncharted 1.
before that, I mean.
Let me look up.
Before that. Are they like a spinoff of somebody else?
I don't know.
Well, he's looking that up because I would rather not hum the theme song from Moon Patrol at the request of several listeners. But I went back and I started playing Ion again.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what it is. That's the flying one, right?
Yeah,
well, allegedly. I don't know what it is. I cannot get into it. I mean, it's really beautiful. It looks as good as any other MMO that I've played. Like, it has a lot of detail, mm-hmm. and then it also has sort of predefined, in a lot of ways, characters for your player characters. So your character ends up looking really good. I wouldn't say they're quite as good as the characters in Guild Wars, but they're a lot more detailed. So the world has a ton of detail in it. But, you know, at least from the parts that I've seen so far, and during the beta I got up to, like, level 15 or 16 or something like that, even though everything was pretty, it was very kind of terrestrial and ordinary. Like, I really wanted more whimsy and more stuff that was kind of otherworldly. I mean, it doesn't take place on Earth.
You are always asking for more whimsy.
I am always asking for more whimsy. Whether it's in a game, on my hot chocolate. Oh, no, that's something else. Whipped cream.
I didn't know where you were going.
No. But I mean, it's all just like regular trees and vines and forests and blah, 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 deserts and all that kind of stuff. There's nothing really out of the ordinary. Now, when you get to like some of the big cities, the architecture is very fantastical, but, it's still, I think they could have taken it a lot further. But the worst part is I just don't care about anything in it. You know what I mean? I don't read any of the quest text because it's all so boring and dry. There's no humor in it. There's no, whatever the overarching story is, I don't care. I just don't care. And the fact that you can't, you know, okay, I'm fine with the fact that you can't fly until you're level 10, but then that you really can't fly again until you're level 25. I mean, you can only fly in one place at level 10, and unless you're in that tiny little town, that's it. You can't fly anywhere else.
That doesn't sound fun.
No, it doesn't sound fun at all. And not to mention the fact that everyone talks about how polished the game is, but I completely disagree. I mean, they can't even render their fonts consistently from, like, one line of text to the next. Uh-huh. Like, one line will look fine, and then the next line will be all, like, aliased and everything.
Janky,
exactly. And, I don't know, there's just other... It takes 2.5 minutes just to launch the game. 2.5 minutes? What are they doing? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, that's time for you to get set
up. No, it's like... time that I'm wasting. Yeah. They're wasting valuable playtime.
I see.
No, but seriously, what are they doing for 2.5 minutes? I have no other games that take 2.5 minutes to launch.
Yeah.
And then they've been having server issues, so people can't log in and everything. And I have, you know, the playtime that I have on it is from keys that the developer gave me to try it out and review it. And I don't want to have to get back to the guy because I'm either not going to write a review or it's going to be bad.
Right.
So, I don't know. Maybe I should just try to play it more. But it's just so boring. That's the biggest problem with
it. So, you haven't been playing World of Warcraft then?
Yeah. All the time.
Of course.
Sure. What do you think I do before I go to bed every night?
I don't really want to know that.
No, you don't. But before that, I play World of Warcraft.
Naughty Dog, you were asking what other games they made. They made all the Crash Bandicoot games.
Oh, okay.
And
Say these are very similar to Crash Bandicoot?
Not in the least.
Okay. And your character, is it a bandicoot?
No.
It is
a human.
Oh, it is a human.
It is a human.
It's not a human bandicoot hybrid?
No, you know, you'll like this game because there are boobalicious babes in this game.
Oh, yeah, really?
Your partner is.
Oh, what's
British.
Her name?
In fact,
ooh.
She's kind
of. Really? Is she kind of Lara Croftish? That's kind of a weird thing, isn't it?
A little.
Did they at least make her blonde?
No, dark hair.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem strange to you that they would put a girl in there in a game that is a direct ripoff of the same genre? She's got a ponytail and everything?
Yeah.
That seems kind of strange.
She's hotter, though.
Than what?
Than Lara Croft.
In which version?
Any of them.
What about Angelina Jolie?
She's similar to Angelina Jolie.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's weird. Her eyes are really a light blue, and you'd wonder if that was just the way that they... Because Lara Croft has brown eyes, right?
You know, I'm colorblind. I don't know. What?
You can't tell the color of someone's eyes.
I usually,
so you don't know what color eyes I have.
No, I usually don't look because I'm not going to be able to tell anyway, so what difference does it make? Unless somebody's got like really...
that's just sour grapes.
It's not sour grapes. Unless their eyes are really, really light, that's usually the only time I notice someone's eyes. I mean, the color.
Right.
I you know, I'll notice people's eyes if they're, you know, if a woman's got...
You know, the eyes are the window to the soul.
That's what they say, but I don't think it's true. I've heard that expression.
It's the boobs.
It's not... No, it's not the boobs. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what I was going to say after. Because
it's something you can't
say. No. It's not anything bad. But it's just I have a little secret about the true window to somebody's soul.
Yeah.
And it's not looking at their eyes. And no, it's not looking at their boobs either.
Yeah.
Even
it's
guys.
Whether they're like Napoleon Dynamite or not.
No.
That's my true test.
That's not it. Well, then I would be soulless in your test.
Well.
No. Oh. That's rude. But anyway.
Apparently you are good at math.
At least simple equations
right.
That equals zero. I'm good at those. All right, so another miscellaneous video game news. There's a rumor that the next PS3 firmware update may include cross-game voice chat, which is kind of cool, but what's the point?
Can I play stupid? Whoa. And I'm not really playing?
Yeah.
So does that mean if I'm playing one game and you're playing another game, we can still chat?
Voice chat, yeah. You can text chat right now with people across games,
right.
But you'll be able
which
to voice chat
actually I was
doing
too. Yesterday with someone.
Yeah. Really? Because yeah. Whenever I try to... text you in on the Xbox, you never reply. Why is that?
You don't ever text me on the Xbox.
Yeah, I stopped because you never replied.
Maybe I wasn't getting them.
No, you told me it was too much of a pain to type stuff in.
Oh, but now I have the little keyboard thing.
Do they have one of those on PS3 too?
They do, but it's like $40. It's ridiculous.
Well,
how much
is the Xbox one?
Well, I got it free, actually.
Oh,
well,
that's right.
It was
as part of the bundle, right?
When I had to pay for another year of the on, you know, the live service.
Yes. I don't know when mine's up. You know what I do love about that, though? I love that. I mean, it's bad because you just end
the
up spending...
The PS3 is free.
Yeah, well, that is good. It was also... What did you pay for it? $9,000?
No.
Okay. It was more than the $299 it costs right now, though.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is that one of the things I like about the whole Xbox Live thing is that you don't have to, like, have your credit card handy to buy. It's bad because you end up just spending a lot more
That's
money
true on PS3
than you probably
too.
Would. But I like that you don't have to do that.
Right.
You
PSN I mean? Is that way too.
Yeah. Have you gone any more into that PSN home thing?
Not recently, but I've been seeing online that they have all these cool new areas, you know, like
oh, really?
Game-specific areas. Well, I told you when I have the Batman disc in, there's you can go to the Batcave.
That's that is
cool.
Really cool.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's nothing to do there.
Yeah.
So.
Can't try on a costume
cool.
or something.
No, but there is one there.
No, I mean in real life.
No, that's Jerry.
No offense, Jerry. Still love you, buddy. I still want to get over there to see
yeah,
all his stuff.
I want to go with you.
Okay. I'll let you know when I'm going. There's another rumor that ATI has been locked in for the next-gen Xbox GPU, possibly for 2012. 2012?
Uh-huh.
How long has the 360 been out?
A while.
And we got to wait another 3 years? Doesn't that seem strange?
No, I mean, they're... Well, they're coming out with Natal, which is part of 360, so
yeah.
I mean, that'll give it new life. And like,
I guess.
What I mean, what's wrong
for
with
for those
it?
Of us who don't have a coffee table anyway.
Right. But really, what's wrong with
it? It just seems like a long time. Shouldn't it be like every 3 years or something? You know, it's like Star Wars
No,
movies.
You know what? I
you see have a new one every 3 years.
It shouldn't be that often. Just
really?
Because, I mean, well, you want to, every 3 years, you want to plunk down
no,
like
I guess not.
$400?
Well, I'm going to have to anyway, apparently, if I want to play Uncharted 2, so whatever.
You know, it's also a Blu-ray player.
I know that. And that's the only reason I'm considering it, because again, I can put it in my office and hook it up to my HD computer monitor, which also doubles as a TV. Yeah. By the way, they have those it's
You're
the
gadget dropping right now.
I am gadget dropping. You know, they have those at Tiger Direct, also known as CompUSA.
Uh-huh.
And it's the T260 HD Samsung.
Uh-huh.
They're like $399. It was $600 when I bought it. 26-inch. The only bad thing is it's really not good for a standalone TV because it's 1920 by 1200 for some reason instead of 1920
That's
by
weird.
1080.
Right.
So you're always going to have a little letterboxing going on regardless right. of what you're watching on there. And if you're watching something that was shot in scope, then you're going to have a lot of letterboxing.
Right.
But anyway, BioWare has released some new info on Mass Effect 2, including that it'll be darker, kind of like Empire Strikes Back, because I guess they're planning on doing a third one after this. So this is the middle one, and I guess, you know, the original Star Wars trilogy dictates that the middle one must always be darker. And that whereas Mass Effect was what they considered more of an action RPG, they're calling Mass Effect 2 more of a shooter with RPG elements.
I like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was too RPG for me.
I loved the first one. I thought it had such a cool feel.
Maybe I should revisit that.
Yeah, I think you should. It was really cool. The only thing I didn't like, there's always one, like, killer thing that...
Wait, if I remember, wasn't it turn by turn or turn-based?
I don't think so, but you could... I think you could stop it.
Oh.
I think you could pause it. You could pause it because, you know, you had other people that were...
One issue with the Knights of the Old Republic was it was like, you
it was
know,
turn-based?
You attack, they attack. Yeah.
Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah.
I don't like the first one.
I never played the second one.
Yeah. So well, I think that you could just go in, but I think you could also pause it so that you could specifically tell your other team members, you know, the NPCs, what to do on their rounds. You know, now I forget. Maybe it was turn-based.
I want to say it was. I played a little of it.
Completely? I thought you could just go in and start shooting people.
I don't remember. You take a shot and then they take a shot.
I don't remember. It's been so long.
I don't remember.
But what I was going to say, the one thing that I really hated about it was when you would go down to the planets and there were a couple instances where you had to shoot these giant like sandworm creatures, and there was this one where you had to drive the drop ship around like the perimeter of a giant crater that the thing was in the middle of. The thing is impossible to drive and shoot in a different direction.
Right. That's true in real life though. So.
And how many drop ships have you driven while shooting in a different direction exactly?
At a sandworm? Many times.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize we were specifically talking about shooting sandworms. There's a demo for the PC for the new game Risen, which is now available, which is a medieval RPG set on a volcanic Mediterranean island. And that's the only reason I bring that up is because everything is always, you know, like the English countryside, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool that they did this on a volcanic Mediterranean island. Yes. I have no idea if it's any good. I downloaded it, but I haven't installed it yet. I tried to download the demo for Wolfenstein for the PC, but I couldn't get it to download. So it just came. I think it just came out on Tuesday, as a matter of fact. Guild Wars 2 may be incorporating some real-time strategy elements, such as players being able to capture a stone mine from which stone is delivered to catapults by NPC-run caravans. And those caravans could be intercepted by enemy players unless you did something like arming watchtowers and defending the roads and stuff. It's just, you know, they've been saying a lot of stuff about how different it's going to be than traditional MMOs in terms of most of those games, you go and you see a guy with a question mark floating over his head so that you know he has a quest, and they're trying to get away from that because they don't like how non-immersive it is.
Right.
So they're trying to make it feel like a much more realistic, lived-in kind of world without making it scripted, though.
Right.
So anyway, that sounds kind of cool. And the website for Stargate Worlds is back up, but they're having funding issues, and so it may be going back down after all anyway.
They say on the website they're having funding issues?
Yeah, there's a letter on the website about it. Well, because people thought they were going out of business like earlier this year, and then they issued a statement saying they had gotten some more funding and everything was fine, and then their website was down for a couple of days, and so then people thought they were going back out of business again. Mm-hmm. And what was funny was the pilot for SGU... The beginning of the show was somebody playing Stargate Worlds. So then people thought that it was like a kind of a plug tie-in sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, that it was actually, there was going to be some news on it recently, but apparently there really isn't. So, you got anything else?
No.
All right. That was very emphatic. Wow.
I don't.
All right. We'll be back in a minute to talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and we're going to talk about TV. Now, before we start talking about this, I had asked you at lunch how far into Uncharted 2 you were, and you said you're on level 7?
Chapter 7.
Chapter 7, sorry. And there are how many chapters?
26 chapters.
26.
And I've spent probably
three hours
on it.
That's almost three times as many.
Yes. Your math skills are amazing.
Excellent. They are excellent. Hey, you know what? Not everyone can get an 11 on their ACT.
11? No, you're right. It's a special group that gets 11.
Literally. We have our own bus and everything. All right. So let's talk about, well, as we said, we're going to be playing an interview that we did with Deborah Pugh.
We actually did this interview
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But we saved it for now because the episode
was
just
timely.
On.
Yeah.
And but we got to talk about this episode because it was hilarious.
It was very funny.
What happens is a guy comes to the office to try to sell insurance to Michael. And for some reason, a bunch of the people in the office think that the guy's a mobster.
Right. And for so every reason. Well, I mean,
for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. His last name is Grotti.
And I think it was hilarious. And Jim and Pam are on their honeymoon. And I think it's hilarious that nobody can get anything done because Jim and Pam are not there.
Right.
And Oscar calls him. Does Michael call him? I forget.
Michael calls him.
Michael calls him and Kevin calls him. And there was a funny bit where Kevin, well, I don't know how much I want to say. But, I mean, there was just so much funny stuff. And what were some of the subplots that were going on?
Well, Kevin was using Jim's office.
I was not cool with why he was using his office.
Why? So he could go fart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we need to know that? Couldn't he just say that he went in there?
This is.
I guess it makes it worse, but
right.
Yeah. I kind of wish he had kept the toupe, though. I thought that was kind of funny.
I agree.
Yeah, well, we hadn't actually seen last week's because we did the podcast really early last week, so we hadn't seen.
Oh,
the
we
wedding.
Hadn't discussed the wedding.
Yeah, we didn't. No, because we haven't been.
Oh,
here.
It has been. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, let's discuss the wedding a little.
I loved it.
I did too.
I thought it was very Jim and Pam in that. I was really happy that they ended up sneaking out and going and actually getting married.
That's
before
what
the
made
wedding.
It. Yeah. Had they not done that,
that
it would have been terrible.
It would have been a terrible episode.
I agree. That little thing saved it.
Yeah.
I have to say, I wasn't familiar with the YouTube video. In fact, I still haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. But apparently that whole dance thing is based on... Have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw it once.
Is it that same song?
I think so, yeah.
Oh.
And I got into an argument with somebody I know over this issue because she was saying...
You're very caustic. That's the problem.
What?
I said you're very caustic.
Well, regardless, the point is, I didn't start the fight, okay? She was saying that she thought they ripped it off. I'm like, it's not a ripoff.
It's an homage, if anything.
If it's a reference, and since they specifically referenced it, I'm pretty sure that qualifies as a reference.
Oh, right.
It's only a ripoff if you do it and don't reference the source. Then it's ripping it off, you know, like rap music. But so I thought that was, it was fine that they did that. But what made it good was that he said that he bought the boat tickets the minute he was shown the YouTube video. Right. That was great that they did it that way. And just the thing with Kevin's toupee, that was great. And I'm trying to think of what are some other things that I thought were really funny in that.
One of my favorite, you know, I love just little moments. And
did you like seeing the crazy Christian from True Blood?
Yeah.
As Pam's sister?
That was great.
That was pretty funny.
But, you know, Meredith's one of my favorites. Meredith standing in front of the church smoking the cigar. Kill me.
That was really funny. But yeah, there was some really great stuff in there. But last night's, I think, was the best so far this season.
The funniest. I don't know if it was the best, the funniest, but it was the funniest.
Yeah, I agree. It was very good. We'll talk more about it later. Okay, I didn't see Flash Forward because I didn't have
because
a chance to watch
this podcast was a surprise to you?
If we go back over the previous 38 episodes, I'm pretty sure that I would be able to win any argument based on what you're doing right now.
Okay.
I'm just saying. But you watched it, right?
and that will be apparent when we get to Heroes.
Exactly. So
I am up to date on Flash Forward.
And did you enjoy last night's episode?
I did enjoy last night's episode.
Okay.
Obviously, you don't want me to say anything, but...
No, not really.
It...
Was there a new...
They're chipping away. And let me tell you, they show... Oh, you never watch what's going to be on next week, do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
What we don't watch is what's going to be on all the rest of the season.
Oh. Dominic... Is that Dominic Monaghan?
Dominic Monaghan.
He will be on
next
week's episode.
Charlie.
So...
That's, is everyone from Lost just going to eventually be on the show? Is that how
they're
looking
at? He's like a key character. I think he's like...
Really? A main guy?
And a bad guy.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So that'll be interesting.
What was I going to say?
Did they?
Was there another like new big cool thing at the end? Like they've been doing the last few weeks?
Not that I remember.
Really?
No. There was a little setup.
A little something?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you didn't see Heroes?
No, I haven't seen the last two Heroes.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is weird because the last one you saw, you said you really liked.
Right. I have them.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, I'm very busy.
Yeah.
I just got a new game.
You have time for television now. Modern Family, again, another fantastic episode.
It's getting better. I don't know if it's getting better. I think
it's consistently great.
I'm getting to know the characters more, so I have more of an emotional connection with it.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Consistently
great. This last
one
was hysterical.
It was so funny. I loved when... there was a one of the stories was that their daughter wanted to go to some overnight thing with her boyfriend.
Concert, right.
Yeah, some overnight concert with her boyfriend. And, you know, they didn't want her to go. So then she's all upset and she's like, you know, sequestered herself in a room. And Phil goes up to talk to her and she's like, Dad. And he's like, Dad, who's Dad? I don't know, Dad. I'm just Marcus, a kid from your accounting class. Did he say accounting?
I don't know if it was accounting.
But it was something like that. Right. And so then her phone rings, her cell phone rings, and she picks it up and you can hear a friend on the other end go, hey, what's going on? You doing anything? She's like, no, just talking to some dork I met in school, which was great. But yeah, there were a lot of really funny moments again. Now, we talked about the fact that Julie Bowen is from both.
24.
No. From Lost.
Lost. Oh, and that's right. Lost. I thought you said earlier in the car it was 24. You're right.
No,
you
said Jack's. I said she was Jack's ex-wife.
And I was thinking Jack Bauer.
No. No, Jack from Lost.
I haven't listened to half of what you say.
No.
You're right.
She was Jack's ex-wife on Lost.
Right.
And really, you listen to half of what I
said? No, I'm kidding.
Really? Because I thought that was higher than I expected.
It's like a third.
Okay. I was going to say, I expected it to be about a fourth, actually.
I'm sorry, what?
And she was also on Boston Legal, and she was great in that.
I would not
check. Ty Burrell, I mean, I've seen him in a million things. I don't know if I could name one.
Who's Ty Burrell?
Phil. Doon 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 doon.
You know the pressure of your music.
Hey, at least I'm not doing the theme from Mappy. That would really drive you crazy.
Right.
Okay, so far we got math good, English and spelling bad.
What has he been in? He's been on the show Damages. Back to You? What's Back to You?
Was that the one where somebody had a baboon heart?
17 episodes of that.
No, I guess not if that's a TV show. What am I thinking of?
He was in the Incredible Hulk movie.
He was?
Yeah.
What was the one I'm thinking of where...
National Treasure Book of Secrets.
Okay, sure.
You saw that.
Yeah, I know. I just don't remember who he played in it. What was the movie with Minnie Driver where she had like a monkey heart or something?
You're thinking of Untamed Heart.
Oh.
But that,
oh,
that
was
Minnie Driver.
That was what's her name?
Stuart Masters.
No. No, what's her name from
Martha
My Cousin
Puffin.
Vinny?
Marissa Tomei.
Marissa Tomei, right?
Yeah.
How do you get Marissa Tomei and Mary Stuart Masterson confused?
And I was about to say Rosie Perez. So
Rosie
I
Perez?
I think one of them is in that movie, too. I think Rosie Perez is in that movie, too.
You mean the hairdresser with a heart of gold?
What's this Back to You? Back to You.
I'm telling you. Wasn't that the name of that movie?
Oh, Back to You was that show with... No, this is a movie. Or a show. It's the show that's already done with Kelsey Grammer and Patricia Heaton.
You know, I heard that was good.
But
it got canceled, right?
Yeah. And they each have their own shows now that
really?
Are like right next to each other.
That's weird.
Yeah, his is called Hank. Hers is called The Middle.
His is named after a character he played in X-Men 2. That's weird.
I don't think it's based on the character.
Oh, he's not blue?
No.
And he's not a beast?
No, it scares the children at night.
What does?
The Blue Man. Blue Man Group.
The Blue Man.
I feel like I have a little Tourette's today where I'll just say whatever is on my mind.
That's fine. Yeah, so Modern Family is great, and you need to get back into Community because it just keeps getting better and better. I haven't seen last night's yet, but last week's was really great. Last week was a really fun episode, and the week before that was great, too.
Rosie Perez is in Untamed Heart. So see, it's not just all nonsense that I see.
Okay, but isn't there a movie called Back to You with Minnie Driver? What am I thinking of? With her and David Duchovny.
Oh, that's Return to Me.
Oh, that's almost the same thing. If you reverse it, Return to Me, Back to
You.
What's the difference?
Flip it and then invert it.
What's the difference? Yeah. Do a triple Lindy. All right. So what else? We saw the second episode, which is actually part three of the pilot of SGU last Friday. It was good. There was a little alien shenanigans going on, so I appreciated that. But still, there's still no bad guy. I don't know what they're going to do. There better be a bad guy in this show or I'm not going to watch it. You can't have a science fiction show set in outer space without a bad guy.
Right.
It just doesn't work.
No.
Because I honestly don't care enough about the emotional state of the crew.
And even once you introduce the bad guy, if he's not someone's father down the road.
I don't care about that.
It.
I don't care if he's someone's father. I don't care if he's missing a hand. I just want there to be a bad guy or a group of bad guys. House was pretty fantastic again, as always. Lie to Me is getting better and better every episode,
What's
too.
Lie to Me?
That's the one with Tim Roth where he plays a deception expert. Good show. You should watch it. And Todd is going to be on it soon, too. which should be pretty cool. I think we're going to do an interview with him coming up in the next month or two as well. Although I can't say why, but there's a reason. There's a specific reason for that. Anyway.
And he was also, I just saw him a couple weeks ago on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's right.
So he was just he'll have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. And then I want to talk a little bit about Medium because we missed the beginning of the season. You know,
that show's still on.
Yeah, it's a great show. And it switched from NBC. You know, it's always been, what did you say?
I'm just pushing your buttons.
You just don't like Roseanne or Patricia Arquette, do you?
I'm not a fan of Patricia Arquette.
She's really good on this show.
Yeah.
She's very good.
Okay.
But what I was going to say is one of their daughters is played by a young actress named Sofia Vasilieva. Uh-huh. And, you know, she's always been fine. You know, the kids are not the focus of the show. But she was the central figure in last week's story or from 2 weeks ago or whenever it was. I'm telling you, the girl was unbelievable. She was so good in this episode because what happened was this woman had been murdered and then she takes over the daughter's body. And so the daughter is basically this, you know, so you got this 15, 16 year old kid all of a sudden being like a 30 year old prostitute.
Right.
And it was
Kids nowadays.
That's the state of things. I blame reality TV, starting with Blind Date.
Right.
But I mean, she
not was, ending with Rock of Love.
No, or Flava of Love. But she was pretty fantastic. So props to little Sophia over there in Medium Land. Anything else that you watched that you want to talk about?
No, I'm looking at what other things the people from Modern Family have been on.
Yeah.
And Eric Stonestreet, who plays Cameron, has been on a lot of things.
Wasn't he on CSI for a while?
He was on CSI for a while. Yeah.
I thought.
He was on an episode of Pushing Daisies, an episode of Nip Tuck, a lot of TV stuff.
Movies? Any movies?
Bones.
Never seen it.
A couple episodes of Bones.
Never seen it because I can't cheat on Zooey Deschanel. I just refuse.
What, I don't understand what that means.
Well, her sister is the lead woman in that show.
So that'd be cheating?
Well.
Keeping it in the family.
In my mind, that's cheating. You can't do that.
All right, well.
I'm just saying.
You and your morals.
About people I don't know.
About your fantasy dates.
I'm thinking about doing a documentary called My Date with Zooey. What do you think? Think it would go over well?
I think it's been done.
What? Did you ever see that?
No, it's supposed to be good, though.
It was fine. It was stupid.
Oh, was it?
It was ridiculous. It was cute. And, you know, Drew Barrymore was a good sport, and that's about all I'll say. Although, I'm going to go out here and say, and no offense to Drew, she's a bit of a cheap ass. Because after this whole thing, you know what she gives him? Like a crappy $400 camcorder so that he can finish his documentary.
She didn't have to give him anything.
I know, but if she's going to buy something, she's Drew Barrymore. Couldn't she have sprung like $2,000 on a nice one?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Plus, I think she made him pay for dinner. But that's fine. It was a date. You know, right. They're old fashioned. All right, we got to talk a little bit, since we're talking about TV, we got to talk a little bit about yesterday's Balloon Boy incident.
Yes.
This kid who supposedly was in the basket of his parents' homemade UFO-shaped experimental balloon.
Yeah, they're storm chasers.
Storm chasers, sure. Yeah. Storm chasers.
Who pays storm chasers? I mean, I don't know. Who's your boss if you're a storm chaser?
I don't know. God, apparently.
And how do you apply for that?
You write a letter to God. It's like writing a letter to Santa, except it's more important because it's God. And usually don't ask for puppies.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know. But whatever. The kid was never actually in the balloon.
Right.
And so then...
But let's... For anyone who was under a rock that day, it was on every channel.
Should I mention names?
No. It was on every channel, and it was like...
All over
live
the intertubes.
Watching this balloon because you thought there was a kid.
Right, you thought there was a kid, and it was like... I mean, the thing was going at a pretty good clip over
at one
over
point,
Colorado.
It was like 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, which is, and you know, like, what was it, 10 million feet up in the air, right?
No, it wasn't that many feet.
Oh, really?
I don't know how many feet.
It didn't leave the atmosphere?
No.
No. Okay. Anyway, so they were, you know, all worried, and then the thing lands. I don't know how it landed, by the way. Defective design, perhaps. But anyway, so the thing lands, and the kid's not in it. So then they launch this, you know, nationwide manhunt, localized to Denver, and they find the kid finally in a box in the attic or the garage or something, right? So then they're on all the news and everything. And so they're on one of the interesting things that happened was they were on Larry King Live, hosted by Wolf Blitzer, hence the name of the show. And at one point, Wolf says, well, you know, I don't know if he can. The kid's name is Falcon. We just need to say that. So he says, I don't know if Falcon can hear me, but did he hear you yelling for him when you were all looking for him? And so the dad, they're all sitting on the couch. It's like dad on one end, the mom on the other, and the three kids in the middle. And the dad turns to the kid. And he said, did you hear us when we were yelling for you? And the kid's like, yeah. And he goes, you did? He's like, how come you didn't answer us? And the kid goes, well, you had said we were doing this for a show. And it was like, what?
Right.
So now it seems like it was all some big publicity stunt. And hopefully they all go to prison, including the little kid, because that should be an actionable offense. You can't involve, like, law enforcement from all over the place and get national media coverage when you're doing a hoax and not have to pay some kind of price.
Right. Especially if your name is Falcon.
Falcon Heen.
Falcon Heen.
I don't even like saying that.
Yeah, he's been on all the morning shows this morning.
And he's been puking everywhere. Yeah. Why does the kid keep puking? What's wrong with this kid?
He was probably beaten endlessly last night.
By his parents?
Right.
For outing them on Larry King Live, hosted by Wolf Blitzer, hence the name. So who knows what's really going on, but I have a feeling we're going to find out. Now, you said they were on Wife Swap?
That's what it said in the news article I read.
All right. I've never seen
I haven't that. Actually seen the episode they were on.
I've never seen the show they were on. Fortunately, you can't say the same, can you?
I've seen many wife swaps.
Really?
Yeah.
Are we talking about the show, or are we talking about real life? Because you work in the restaurant business, and I have to say, there's some shenanigans going on there.
Yeah, they'll drop one off. Someone else come pick her up. We're kind of a drop zone.
It's an open industry. One of the major characters on Heroes is going to die soon. It's one of the original cast. It's a major character, which I believe I've already said, and it's a guy.
And we think it's Nathan.
But I thought you said he was already dead. We were talking about this at lunch.
He is already dead. I'm not caught up, so I don't know if...
Okay, but here's what I'm saying. I thought that at the end of last season, I thought Nathan was still alive and Siler was pretending to be Nathan off somewhere else. But you said that Nathan actually died.
That wasn't the end. You know what? That happened. That wasn't the end.
Okay.
That's when Siler was a shapeshifter.
Because I also thought that Danko was dead at the end of last season.
Yeah, I did think that. I'm
so confused.
We'll have to review the tapes on that one. But that diner scene
happened.
You hear
that, Eddie? Open up the vault, would you?
That diner scene happened, but it wasn't the end of the season.
It wasn't?
No.
I don't know. I don't remember.
No. What happened at the end of last season is Nathan is killed, and then...
By who? How?
I don't remember. But he was killed. That part I remember.
You're just making this up, though.
No, I swear. He was killed.
All right.
And then... They did like a mind trick on Siler to make him think.
You cannot say mind trick and wave your hands like a Jedi when I'm drinking.
And made him think he was Nathan.
Okay, I remember
that. So the
real
part. Nathan is dead.
Okay, fine. But does nobody know this except for their mom? Because
there's a couple other people who know.
Because Peter obviously doesn't know.
They did. Who did the mind trick? Didn't Parkman do the mind trick on
him? Well, yeah. Who else would have done
so
it?
So he would know.
No. But I mean, Peter doesn't know, right?
That's why Siler is haunting...
Parkman
is because of how he turned him
that.
Into Nathan.
I understand that, but I thought the real Nathan was still alive somewhere.
Is
what
dead.
I'm saying. Okay, fine, whatever. So it couldn't be him then. If he's already dead, then it couldn't be him.
Right.
Right. That would stand to reason. So it's got to be Hero,
which I'm fine with.
I don't want Hero to die.
Parkman,
which I would fine be fine with. Yeah. Sorry, Greg. Think you're a cool
now,
guy.
Now you're caught up on this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Has Mohinder come back?
No.
Oh, good.
Oh,
I'm
maybe it'll be
that.
Mohinder. Maybe it'll just be like cut scene to Mohinder sitting in an apartment and like a bookcase falls on
right.
him and he's
I'm
dead.
Fine with that.
And then they cut back to the story.
Yeah, it
that would
be
actually
Peter.
Be pretty cool. No.
It could even be, what's his name? Cheerleader's father.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Why can't we think of his name? HRG.
Right.
It doesn't matter what his name is. Noah.
Noah.
Or it could be... Who else is there that's a guy that's a central character? I mean, they're not going to count the Haitian.
Or Ando.
No. It better not be Ando. If one of them is on the show, they both have to be on the show.
Right.
That's why it's not going to be Hero, because they're not going to kill off Ando. Right? But anyway, the thing about this was that the actor who plays the character who's getting killed didn't know he was getting killed off until he read his script to film that episode.
Right.
So there was a little brouhaha about that. Fox is bringing back Idol Gives Back this coming season, with the show being aired during the Top 7 performance on April 21st.
Okay.
Can't they just do it and not show it to us? Those shows are always so lame.
Yeah, but I mean, they have a purpose.
No, it's good. I think it's very good, especially with the amount of money that they make off of that.
Right.
I think it's great that they do it, but I don't need to see it. Maybe they should do a special. That way you don't have to watch it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay. I don't even know what to say about this.
I haven't even read this.
Omarosa, remember Omarosa Manigault Stallworth?
Yes.
Is the quote unquote well-known bachelorette who's going to star in Trump's ultimate merger. Yes, that's right. She's dropping out of her seminary studies.
She was in
to be on a
studies.
Dating show by Donald Trump. Here's the weirder part, as if you could get weirder. The winning, quote unquote, and I use winning very loosely here, bachelor must not only win Omarosa's heart, but gain Trump's approval. So apparently Donald Trump has now adopted Omarosa.
And he's pimping her.
I can't even join in that conversation, really. But here's the thing. Okay, so let's say they were going out and they were trying to cast this show, you know, getting a bunch of guys.
Well, first of all, she's just so, she's such a monster. Who'd want to be on it?
That's what I'm saying. Once these people found out that it's Omarosa that they're going after, who wouldn't drop out? I mean, the woman is a horrible, awful person. And I've never met her, and I feel very comfortable saying that and having it be accurate. Not to mention she's dumb as a brick. But if you'll remember some of her more entertaining comments from the first season of The Apprentice.
I never watched the first season. I did watch her on Celebrity Apprentice, though.
Which, speaking by the which, way, speaking of which, let's go right into
here?
That. Yeah. Some of the stars of Celebrity Apprentice 3 are going to be Rod Blagojevich, old Blago. Sharon Osbourne, Brett Michaels, Daryl Strawberry, Cyndi Lauper, Sinbad, and Holly Robinson Pete. Sinbad, is he actually considered a celebrity still?
He almost hit me once in his car.
Punched or ran
no,
over?
In his car. I was crossing the street.
Yeah.
And I guess he didn't see me. It's a true story.
Are you sure it was him and not another like 7 foot dude dressed up like a genie?
No, it was him.
It was definitely him.
Yeah.
Okay. Cyndi Lauper, I think she's going to take it. I'm just looking at this list. I'm thinking Cyndi Lauper's going to take it.
I don't know. Sharon Osbourne.
Yeah, but she's a little older. So, you know.
Joan Rivers was like 80 when she won.
Yeah, she won by default. The only reason she won is because all the other people lost.
Right.
Okay. That wasn't even fair. That wasn't even fair. Pilot Jake Pavelka will be the next bachelor on The Bachelor on the Wings of Love.
That's beautiful.
That's beautiful. And I can't believe that show has been on for 14 years. That's absolutely pathetic. Modern Family has been picked up for a full season. Woohoo! Because remember, we were afraid it might get canceled because it went down in the ratings.
You were afraid. I wasn't afraid.
Okay.
You skipped one here.
If Trauma... I did?
Yes.
Oh, HBO. Did you watch it?
No.
Okay.
I don't know who that is.
Maury Sendak, who is the author of Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh.
HBO aired a documentary about him to coincide with the release of the movie, which I believe came out today, in which the allegedly bitter, nasty old man talked about how much he hated his parents, among other things.
Well, so, that's why he was dreaming of other lands.
But here's the thing. And I get that, and that's fine. But I think it was a really bad idea of them to attach that kind of negativity to the opening of a movie that they obviously want to do well. You know, it's like whenever I would read articles about Alec Guinness saying how much he hated working on Star Wars. It's like, you know what? You can't say that. You can't take something that is near and dear to the hearts of children, basically, and poo-poo all over it.
I think long after the fact, yeah, but not...
He was saying that, like, before Jedi came out.
Yeah, but it was already, like, established. No, that I think is an interesting
how can you condone
little bit
that,
of trivia.
Though?
Huh?
Well, but you think that's a good idea? To take something that people are so enamored with?
No, I'm saying
with?
This is a lot worse because no one has gone to see this movie yet.
Right.
I'm saying if this movie became huge and then they aired this, then it's a side note. But here, this, I think, could be destructive to the
Yeah, because now they're like, oh, well, this guy's just a jerk who hated his parents. Why do I want to see something he wrote?
You know what's so weird are the mixed reviews for this movie. People either love it or hate it. It got 4 stars in the local paper in the Tribune.
Yeah.
But this morning on the news, they gave it like a D.
I talked to somebody, a friend of mine, a couple of weeks ago, who said that he thinks it is one of the best movies ever made.
Kidding.
No. He said he cried during the whole movie.
I don't know how to respond to that.
I'm just saying he was very touched by it. Apparently, I didn't like the book. I got to be honest with you. I thought it
kind of. I want to know how you stretched that book. That book had like you know maybe
I think it was 11
pages. 100 words.
Yeah. No, it was more than that. But I mean, it's you know it's a short story.
They said on the news this morning that there's like 10 lines in that book.
Really?
10 lines of 10 sentences in that book.
Well, does he even qualify as a writer then?
Right?
Could have been scribblings on a napkin. If trauma really tanks in the ratings, which apparently it's doing, NBC could cancel it and replace it with Chuck, which I would be very thrilled with. Because, you know, right now Chuck is scheduled to come back after the Olympics, after the beginning of the year.
Right.
But if trauma keeps going down, down, down the slide, then they might bring back Chuck as early as late October or mid-November.
So you're probably not going to be happy about the Save Trauma petition I just posted online.
No, not at all. And I won't care, and I'm not going to sign it. I'm just saying. I cannot wait for Chuck to come back. I miss that show so much. I can't believe you don't watch it. It's so fun.
No, I don't like it.
See, you're poo-pooing all over Chuck right now.
That's disgusting.
Next.
That's disgusting.
Okay, you got anything else?
No.
Okay, well, if you don't have anything else, then should we play the interview that we did with Deborah?
Sure.
All right, cool. So here you go. We give again to you, Deborah Pewitt, who was on last night's episode of The Office as the waitress at the restaurant where they all went.
All right, right now we're speaking with an old friend of mine, Deborah Pewitt. And Deborah is featured in a recent episode of The Office, but we're going to talk to Deborah about some of the other stuff that she's worked on or...
Actually, an episode of The Office that's going to air shortly.
So, Deborah, hello.
Hi. How are you, Tony?
I'm well. Deborah and I actually go way back. We worked together. Wow, it's been over 10 years already. Can you believe
that? Gosh, is that... Well, right, because I was pregnant with Wyatt, who's 9 and a half.
Wow. Wow.
But we should mention that the baby is not Tony's, right?
No, not this one.
Okay. All right, good.
Well, I guess you'll have some news for me later then. But Deborah and I worked together at a restaurant. It's no longer open, so we don't need to plug it. But then Deborah moved on to L.A. to become a star, and I believe you kind of have.
Well, thanks,
when you
Tony.
Guys worked together, it was here in Chicago?
Yes.
We worked together at a restaurant in Chicago, yeah.
Oh.
Indeed. And it was a great experience, actually. It was one of my favorite jobs ever, and partially it was because of the people that I worked with, and Tony among them. We had I like to think that we had a pretty good time, given the fact that we were waiting tables.
Right.
Right?
Definitely.
Well, let's start off, before we talk about what you did on The Office, let's talk about some of the other stuff you've been in before.
Okay.
Because you were on a show on Lifetime called Strong Medicine, right?
I was. Shortly after we moved, I actually started acting in Chicago, and I did some television and film there. The majority of my work was in theater, though. You mean the theater in Chicago, you know, is amazing, and I was lucky and got some really terrific jobs. And then we moved out, my husband and I moved out to L.A. shortly after our son was born, and within, I think, a couple of months, I was working on Strong Medicine.
Wow, that doesn't happen often.
No, you're right. It was pretty lucky. We got here, and I got an agent really fast, and I got that job really fast, which isn't necessarily indicative of how things continue to go, but I did feel lucky right away.
And was that your first TV gig?
No. In fact, my first TV gig aired while I was working with Tony. Remember that? It was that episode of, it was a show called Cupid with Jeremy Piven.
Right, I do vaguely remember that.
And I think they even, did we have televisions at that restaurant?
We did, they were over the bar.
I think that maybe it was on television one night while we were all working. And that was my first network TV gig, it's how I got my SAG card, it was very exciting.
Very cool, but you had to work during that, huh?
I still had to wait tables, man.
So you were waiting tables while your first TV show was on the air.
While my show was on.
That's so cool. Did you get big tips that day when you pointed it out to your customers?
You know, I might have.
Well, we also want to talk about, we saw something on your IMDb page that you're in a movie called Crossing Over with Harrison Ford, Ray mm-hmm. Liotta, and Ashley Judd.
Yeah.
Is that going to open? I mean, we see that it said on your page that it opened in Bahrain.
Oh, yeah, those pages are sometimes incomplete. No, the movie actually opened in the United States back in, I want to say February of this year, something like that.
That's so weird because I don't know. Was it more of an indie film or was it a big studio production?
It was an independent feature that was distributed by the Weinstein Company, who you might be familiar with.
Sure, we've heard of
it. And you know, the movie, I know only as much as I've read in the trades, but evidently what happened was there was a it was not the easiest process from start to finish, and some kind of crazy stuff went down with it, and it ended up not getting the distribution that everyone imagined it would have gotten with Harrison Ford in the lead and that ensemble cast.
Right.
And so it was released theatrically, but it was only released, as far as I know, in the more major markets. I think it was in Chicago, but it wasn't like a widescreen distribution.
Right.
And then very recently it came out on DVD, so, you know, it is something that people can rent on Netflix or wherever they rent their DVDs.
Now, have you seen it since it, you know, was final?
Yeah. I saw it in the theater. I saw it on the big screen.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And who did you, who were the other people who you mostly worked with when you shot that?
I worked with a young actress named Summer Basheel, who, if you saw Towelhead, Alan Ball's Towelhead, you would know. She's a marvelous young actress. The movie is an ensemble piece, and it's gotten a lot of comparisons to a movie called Crash, which had interweaving storylines.
Sure, that was a great movie.
Very similar in structure. I don't know if people want it to be compared to that, but it is similar in structure. and so the storyline that I was involved with dealt with a young woman who I believe was Bangladeshi and had moved to America with her family. She's very traditional Muslim. She wears the hijab to school. And one day I assign a report about 9/11. You know, it's years after 9/11 and we're talking about what happened. And she gets up there and she gives a report that's not at all popular with the class. She basically says that we should try to look at things from the terrorist point of view, and people don't like that. And it ends up, that report ends up getting her investigated by Homeland Security and her family, and she and her family being deported.
Wow, that's pretty sad.
Yeah, the movie's about immigration and all the issues around immigration. And
that
so that was
great.
Her storyline, and that was the one I was involved in, and I played her teacher.
Oh, I'm going to have to check that out. That sounds great.
Yeah, I was really happy with it.
Really good actors in that movie too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think it's unfortunate it didn't get wider distribution. I think it's a good movie.
Yeah. Now we also have to talk about one other thing that's on your IMDb profile, mm-hmm. which is a movie called Sacrifice, in which you played a character identified as unclean.
Which is better than the list of characters that were infected. So I guess if you're going to be unclean or infected, unclean is the way to go.
Damn you, IMDb. That was actually a post-apocalyptic musical.
Really?
No, I'm not lying. Short film that I did with a very, very talented graduate student at USC. And it was like the most intense. If you out here, the graduate thesis films that students make, I mean, they're essentially professionals at that point. They have professionals on their crew, and, you know, they often get professional actors like they did for that movie. The budgets on these movies are just insane. And it was a movie about a virus that has taken over this unnamed city. And I was one of the people who evidently had become unclean. So, yeah, that was, and I sang.
That's awesome.
That is. There's no way to get access to that one, is there?
You know, I don't know if the director has ever put it up. You could look for YouTube. I have a copy of it somewhere. It's a pretty wild ride.
I'm sure a lot of people would be interested in seeing that. Because people love the idea of zombie musicals, basically.
Yeah, I hear you. But it wasn't funny. It was serious.
Oh, okay. Well, then
it wasn't a spoof. It was entirely deadly serious. And I was entirely
every
unclean.
Pun intended, I'm sure.
It really was a really good movie. In fact, the producer of that movie I'm still friends with, and he's gone on to produce big feature films.
Well, that's cool. And then you're currently in a play called Stop Kiss, right?
Yes, I am.
And you're getting a lot of acclaim for this, aren't you?
Thank you. Yeah, you know, we've been really fortunate. We opened the play at the company I'm involved with, which is called Rogue Machine. Not Road, but Rogue, R-O-G-U-E, Rogue Machine. And we opened on July 9th, and we have just announced our second extension.
Oh,
congratulations.
We'll
be taking the play all the way to October 25th. And it's been a real gift, I think, the play. Do you know what it's about?
Yeah, I mean, vaguely, it's about a couple of women who are very close, and one of them is a lesbian, right?
No, neither of them.
Oh.
They both self-identify as heterosexual.
Oh,
then
okay.
They become friends, and it's out of this friendship a love affair arises. And on the instance of their first kiss, which happens in public in a park in Manhattan, one of them is brutally beaten, and the other is left to decide what she will do with her life. But, and it sounds sad, and it is sad in some ways, but it's also really, really funny. And Diana Sun, the writer, who now writes for, continues to write plays, but also writes for television, she's written it in a really interesting structure. The first scene you see is their first meeting, these two women, when they first meet. And the second scene is my character, Callie's, first sit down with the police after the beating. And it goes back and forth between the timelines like that.
Oh, very cool.
So while you see their this relationship blossom, you also see the aftermath interwoven. And it's really, it seems to have just captured people's imaginations, and audiences have really, really taken to it. And it's a joy to do every night.
Oh, that's very cool. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
And I hope all any of our listeners who hear this, how long is it running till?
We are running in L.A. until October 25th. We are in limited rep with another show that's going up at our theater. And if people want to find out information about it, they can go to Rogue Machine Theater, and theater is spelled R-E at the end, .com.
Okay. I think this will air, we will post this before the end of the run. So any of our listeners in L.A. should definitely go check that out. It sounds great. I wish I was out there so I could check it out.
Oh, thank you. It's a real joy. I've been having a great time doing this show.
Cool. So let's talk about the character that you played on The Office. Now, do you know when that episode is going to air?
Well, I shot episode 6. It's entitled Mafia. And if they go every week without missing a week, like if a football game doesn't interrupt or whatever the heck things interrupt television, you know, if that doesn't happen, we should be airing October 22nd.
Okay, cool. So
it's
about a month away. And who's the character that you played?
So I play a waitress named Alice. And I have to wait on Steve Carell and Rainn Wilson and Ed Helms and a guy who may or may not be part of the mafia.
That's awesome. That sounds like a very funny, typical, you know, scene for that show.
It's so funny that when I was auditioning, I mean, happily, when I was auditioning, the casting director behind the camera broke up both times that we read the scene, and then on set, it was much the same. It was a really interesting, really interesting process. For as funny as that show is, you know, it's a very serious thing making it, because comedy's hard.
Sure,
you know, and they're very good at what they do, and I think it's really important to everybody there that every episode be as funny or funnier than the last. And so, you know, it was intense and really fun. I had a blast shooting it.
Well, that's one of our favorite shows, and we actually discuss it when there's a new one airing. We discuss it every week on our podcast.
Interesting.
But I do have to ask a question. How much of it, the final product, is scripted, and how much do they allow for improvisation?
Well, that will be interesting. Well, first of all, they allow for a ton of improvisation. I'll kind of explain how it went for us. But then in terms of what the final product looks like, I won't know until I see it. But we went in with a script, right? And at least on the day that I was there, the director who, you know, the directors change on a regular basis, but the director of this episode wanted to hear the scene the way it was written the first time.
Okay.
So, you know, we start the scene and we go through the lines exactly as they're written, and we had to start and stop quite a few times because people could not keep because people couldn't stop from laughing, which I think is maybe a good indication. And then after that, after the first couple of times of going through it on script, the director would come up to some of us, me, and say, "Listen, okay, this time I want you to say something. Find something to say here that will make him do this, that you think will get this reaction, or that you think, you know." So then we started to play. And
but they left it up to you, I mean, to come up with that line then.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and, you know, these guys, the regulars, are so used to playing off of each other like that, they're really good and really fast and really sharp. So it was a workout, and it was really fun.
Now, in that sense, obviously you're a professional, you've been doing this for a long time, but in that sense, going into an environment where there is, you know, already an establishment between the regular characters on there, is that aspect of it intimidating at all, or is it more exciting and fun?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think it depends on who you are, but for me, it was just exciting. I was just so jazzed. I had a blast. It could be intimidating, and it wasn't like I wasn't at all nervous because, you know, these guys are good. I mean, the people on that show are so funny, and a lot of them are really accomplished improvisers from Second City or Upright Citizens Brigade or wherever they come from. I know that Steve Carell was at Second City in Chicago for a long time.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Lou worked at Second City. He was friends with Steve Carell.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I haven't seen him since he left Chicago, but yeah, we worked together back then.
Yeah,
he was fantastic.
They are good, and I've studied a little bit, but I mean, nothing like what they do. And so, but I found it really invigorating. It's nice to be able to go off the page, and it's nice to be able to, you know, if Rainn Wilson throws you something nuts, to be able to, like, come back, you know? And I had a blast. It'll be really interesting to see what the scene actually is when they put it together, because we must have, boy, I don't even know. I can't even tell you how many times we did it, and it was different after those first couple of times when we were using the script. We still stayed to the form of the script, right?
Right.
I mean, it didn't go wildly out of, the structure was still there. Certain things needed to happen in the scene. People needed to place their orders. People needed to, you know, you had to get confused at certain spots because that was part of what was happening in the scene. But we must have done the scene with different dialogue. I mean, 15 different ways? I don't know.
Wow.
A lot.
Well, then we could probably look forward to like deleted scenes on the DVDs when they come out.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, these guys must, if that day that I was there is any indication, they must just have outtake after outtake after outtake, because for a while we couldn't get through the scene. People were laughing, and the crew was laughing, and it was really fun.
Now, can you tell us who wrote and directed the episode?
You know, I can. Talk about something else for a second, and I will tell
we,
you that.
We can come back to that.
Right,
you
here.
Can tell us later. Now, is this a character that might reprise the role at some point, or was it probably just a one-off kind of thing?
Well, you know, I think it's good to just expect that it's a one-off kind of thing, because, you know, that's actually fine. However, having said that, it's not as if you're in their town, right, and there's a possibility they could come back to there's a possibility of anything, right?
Right.
But that's not anything that was discussed, like, you know, oh, they're going to come back to this restaurant on a regular basis and you're going to be the regular waitress kind of thing.
Now, this wasn't at the Chili's, was it?
No, it wasn't at the Chili's. Because this guy may or may not be in the mafia, they eat at an Italian restaurant, and that's actually how the what sets up the joke. So I'll tell you, the writer was Brent Forrester, who's a really nice guy,
okay.
And equally nice was David Rogers, who was the director.
So I'm going to go ahead, since we worked together at what essentially was an Italian restaurant, say that I probably gave you some of the inspiration for your role.
You know, there was one specific moment, Tony, when I was standing
Come on,
there
I'm
looking
kidding.
At Steve and thinking, what will I say? And I remembered it was Tony in my head. And
oh,
he was like,
thank you.
Did you guys work together at Montuano's?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I still miss that food, man.
Did you ever eat at Tutto Posto before he opened Montuano's?
Wait. No, but I had heard about it. I was very enamored of Tony Montuano. He was famous in my book, and I was very impressed. I was impressed with myself getting the job there.
Yeah, he's just such a fantastic chef.
I know. Is he now at, is it?
He's at Spiaggia.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
That's right.
Which is, you know, generally considered to be one of the best Italian restaurants in the entire country.
I know.
And Obama's favorite.
Live by it.
Obama's been cited there a couple times.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you have to say President Obama
I'm
now.
I'm sorry. I still feel this casual tone with him.
Because we live in the same city of a bazillion people. Now, what was the... I'm assuming it was a set on the lot and you were not at an actual restaurant.
No, we were actually on location.
Oh,
we
really?
Were on location at an Italian restaurant, like way out in far away.
Can you say what the restaurant was, or would you get in trouble for that?
What was that?
I said, can you say what the restaurant was, or would you get in trouble for that?
I don't know if I can say that.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't know what I'm allowed to do, really. But it was at, let's just say it was at a family Italian restaurant kind of place. And they had, interestingly, hired for the extras, they had hired a bunch of the people that actually worked there so that they, you know, they had people that were looking like they knew their way around the place. And then I was the person, because I was the one waiter that they actually interact with, I needed to be established. You know, before and after in the scenes, I needed to be wandering around in the background, in the foreground, you know, talking to the other extras at the tables. And it's, you know, these TV shows are such machines. The number, I can't even tell you how many extras there must have been on that set. And that's a lot of work to just keep all those people in the right place. I mean, they know what they're doing, the extras do, but you still have somebody handling all of them and taking the food on and off the tables to reset. You know, every time you reset a scene, everything has to come off and go exactly back to where it was. And, it's intense, the level of organization on a television show like that. It's really amazing.
Well, I can't wait to see it. That sounds great.
Yeah, I'm excited too. You know, I don't think you can sometimes look at a script and say, oh yeah, they could jettison this scene if they needed to. But I don't think that's maybe true of the scene. And even if it was true, I feel like I think there was a lot of funny stuff happening. So I'm hopeful that a decent cut of it will make the actual air date. You never know until you see it, you know?
Right. Well, we look forward to that. Yeah. Is there anything else you're working on now or something you have coming up that you'd like to talk about?
I have been working on a lot of smaller films this year, and I have a couple of screenings that are coming up that I'm really excited about. I did a short film called The Show that's finished and has been submitted to Sundance, and we're going to be having a screening at the American Film Institute sometime soon in one of the screening rooms there. And then I did another short film called Tent City, which might be airing on PBS once it's finished. So I have, you know, things like that, and then just auditions all the time.
Well, that's great. Deb, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us.
Oh,
yeah, thanks.
My pleasure.
Nice to meet you over the phone.
So nice to talk to you both.
And I will get in touch with you so we can talk.
Sounds good.
Not over air.
I can tell you about that kid.
Yeah, please. Well, Deb, thank you very much.
Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies. What have you seen?
Do you want to talk about what you've seen first?
Nothing. Your turn.
I have seen Zombieland.
Yeah, what'd you think of the old Zombieland?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. I have to say it's jarring at first.
Yeah.
First of all, it's very funny. And the style in which it's written in kind of this almost like a video game style. I mean, there's always like every once
in a while. Do you feel like you were watching somebody play Left 4 Dead?
Kind of. Well, you know, I love my zombies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I already went in, you know.
Yeah.
They already had me.
Right.
They had the name.
They had me at Undead.
Right.
Right.
But they would like flash these graphics on the screen or like freeze and then, you know,
while Woody Harrelson was making a funny face.
Not talk to the screen, but you know, there would be like voiceover.
Right.
Like, discussing what's going on. It really worked here.
Yeah.
And I like that. It was very funny. Like, for example, I mean, this doesn't really ruin anything in the movie. Jesse Eisenberg is like the main kid in the movie. He's the guy from Adventureland, which you still haven't seen, have you?
That is true.
You have to see that.
Okay.
He was saying, like, you know, first of all, this is a world where everyone.
Wait a minute. I thought you said that you were disappointed with Adventureland.
Are you kidding? I told you it was one of my favorite movies of all time.
Wait, what was the one that I was thinking of that you said you were disappointed with?
Role Models.
No. It was something else that you thought was going to be.
No, remember, eventually, it was one of my favorite movies.
Okay, wait.
That's the one that reminded me of when we worked at the movie
theater.
Okay,
but wait. What was the movie that you saw that you thought was going to be a comedy, and then it turned out to not be a comedy? And so
that one.
Oh.
You know what? We need to check the tapes. No, I specifically remember saying that it was one of my favorite movies.
All right, go on.
But so he was saying to, you know, at this point, the world has been taken over by zombies, so everyone's either dead or a zombie.
Right.
So he said, you know, there are certain rules that you need to live by in order to survive. And so whenever something would happen on the screen, like he would give you his rules at the very beginning.
Right.
So whenever something would happen, like one of them was double tap. So if you shoot a zombie and you think it's dead, shoot it one more time. So anytime anything that would happen, they'd flash that rule on the screen.
Oh, okay.
So it was really
funny. That's kind
of cool. Yeah, it was really funny. But I have to say, it's a little jarring at first because it's extremely violent.
And gory, I take
it. I mean, yeah. They're zombies, but still, sure. You know, zombies were at one time people.
That's true.
So,
some your neighbors, some your family.
Right.
Some your friends.
Right.
Coworkers.
Yes.
Classmates.
Everyone.
Lovers.
Got it.
Bus drivers. Grocery store
Let
clerks.
Let me know when you're done.
I'm done. I draw the line at grocery store clerks.
Yeah.
Firemen. Policemen. Okay, now I'm done.
I'm
social
done.
Workers?
I'm done too.
Okay. So anyway.
So it's very violent. So, I mean, obviously, you know, you get a little used to it. So after like 10, 15 minutes, it's not bothersome.
Which is pretty much you've just encapsulated the problem with our youth in this country in general.
Exactly.
But anyway.
And in fact, there is one scene where he's playing World of Warcraft. You'll be happy to know
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's a road movie and it's very fun.
Yeah, right.
And there's a specific scene that really makes me respect and like this movie. And
don't give it away. Because
it's the best, one of the best movie cameos ever.
All right. Just leave it at that.
I
don't want to ruin
what
it.
Is. No, I won't. But it's genius.
Yeah.
This whole scene is genius.
Wow.
So for that alone, go see this movie.
All right,
if you're not bothered by violence, because it's extremely.
Yeah. I might rather see it on TV than going to see it at the movie theater because, you know.
Right.
It's a little less in your
those
face.
Those big images are.
They're big. They're
scary.
Huge. You can't get away from them. You know what we forgot to talk about in TV? We haven't talked about Glee.
I haven't seen the most recent one.
Oh, okay.
Which was yesterday?
Wednesday.
No, Wednesday.
Yeah.
But I'm caught up other than that.
Well, that's not caught up then, is it?
Well, you've only seen two episodes. Are you all caught up?
No, I'm all caught up.
Are you?
Yeah, we've seen everything.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk.
Well, we can't. You haven't seen it.
Well, just don't talk about the most recent one.
Okay, well, here, I have to say, there are a couple things about the show that are driving me crazy. I mean, I think it's a great show.
Yes.
It's really a feel-good show. And you know, the music is usually pretty good. I get kind of, it's so funny because they've set up the early episodes in the season to always kind of end on a big number.
Right.
And so when they don't do that, I'm kind of like, aww.
Right.
We got kind of gypped.
Right.
But I have to say, I hope that the storyline with his wife gets wrapped up soon because
I agree.
Hate that kind of storyline.
I agree.
I don't care if it's movie or TV. I cannot stand that kind of deception storyline.
Right.
It drives me batty. And then the other thing was, I mean, come on. Emma said yes to what's his name?
Right.
Really?
I know.
And then finally, as much as I like Jane Lynch, because, you know, Jane and I had lunch once.
Right.
At Julio's. As much as I like Jane Lynch, and I do like her, and I think she's great in that character, don't you think it's ridiculous that she, A, hasn't been fired, and B, hasn't been banned from ever being on television again? Nobody would let her back on TV again after that first time. You know
when
what I mean?
When she was talking about caning.
And why it should be legal in the United States. I mean, it's very funny, but and she has some really good lines in the most recent episode. But
I have to say, it's the perfect balance of camp and humor to where it's not... What's the word?
Well, I think it would be perfect balance if they would wrap up some of these storylines.
I agree.
In like two episodes rather than six.
That wife storyline.
It's terrible. It's so terrible. It's such like a horrible thing.
Right.
And she's like, her and her sister are bribing everyone in Tarnation to, you know, play along.
Right.
And there's something else that happens along those lines in this one. And it's actually a very funny thing. But still, it's like, you know, just end it. But now, you said they all actually sing their own parts?
Yes.
How do you know that?
They've been on talk shows and sang.
Okay.
But they said that that was the requirement.
I don't remember all their names, but who's the football player with the...
Finn.
No, not Finn. The tough guy with the mohawk.
I don't know his name.
I love when they were talking about something and he goes to Schuster?
Schuster.
Right. He goes, wheelchair's right, Mr. Shoe. Or wheelchair kid's right, Mr. Shoe.
The little one-liners in there. Oh, I just love
that.
They're
so funny. And now, is the Asian girl who stutters, is she supposed to be the daughter of the guy who works with Shu's wife who stutters?
Oh, I don't think so.
Because he's Asian, too, so I don't know if...
Oh, that you know what? I don't know.
Not that stuttering runs in the family, but I just thought it was interesting that he also stutters.
Weren't you amazed on that one episode where, remember when he gave her the lead and then she sang that song by herself from West Side Story? Weren't you amazed at her voice?
She's phenomenal.
Yeah.
That girl's amazing.
I have to say, that's one thing that kind of bothers
me. I know,
me.
Because he's so not up to par with her.
Finn doesn't sing right. as well as the rest of them.
No. No. And Quinn, which Finn and Quinn, that's right. a little weird. But Quinn had a solo this week, and she's...
Oh, not so good?
She's fine, but she's a little bubblegum.
Yeah, I don't think you
nasally.
Want her to be that good, though.
No.
I mean,
she reminds me of somebody. I can't figure out who it is. She really reminds me of somebody else. But I and the I don't know the black girl's name, the kind of one who's a little heavier. Great voice.
Great.
Really great voice.
I love that number she did. Remember when she fell in love with Kurt? And then she threw the rock through the window of his Escalade.
No, you know what? I think we missed that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, her musical.
There was one that
was
we didn't
great.
See, and I think that was it.
It was great because then the cheerleaders were like her backup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But
how are you watching these?
Well, we've been recording
them. Oh, okay.
But we watched one or two online, but you know what? We didn't see that one that you just mentioned.
Look for it, because that was a great one.
Yeah, it's a really good show. It's a really good show. But, yeah, I just hope they wrap up some of these.
That is the one. There's one that's absolutely hysterical. Did you see the one with the football team when Kurt joins the football team?
Yeah, that was great.
Okay.
That was really good.
Yeah.
And I loved how they ended that with him and his dad. Because
yeah.
I didn't really see that coming. And, I mean... When you knew he was going to tell his dad, then I figured that that's right. what was going to happen. But I didn't think at the beginning of the episode that that's how they were going to wrap it up. So I thought that was really cool. And there was something else that I liked about that. But yeah, it's really good. And the one, like you said, the one with Kristen Chenoweth was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, that girl, what's her name? Michelle Lee or Michelle Leah or something like that. The girl who plays Rachel.
Leah Michelle. Rachel.
Yeah. I mean... She was vocally, you know, just a smidge under the talent of Kristen Chenoweth,
right.
I thought. I think the thing about Kristen Chenoweth that's amazing is, as a performer, she is just outstanding.
Yeah.
I mean, when the way that she, I love the way she
the
played
way she
that
can
part.
Just go from, like, being drunk.
And what was great is it, and she made it part of the character,
right.
rather than just a performance glitch.
Right.
I mean, she made it part of her character in that it was so important to her that she could snap out of it to get into that limelight again. And, I mean, she just absolutely commands the stage, you know, when she's performing and stuff. She's really
great.
Like I noticed her eyes because her eyes are really light.
Right.
But I still don't know what color they are.
Yeah.
Could be blue. Could be green. Could
They're
be white.
Orange.
They're
orange.
Really? I don't think I've ever seen that before. Okay, did you want to say anything else about Zombieland?
No.
All right. So Universal and Imagine Entertainment have acquired screen rights to Frenemy of the State, based on a graphic novel about a privileged young heiress who works undercover for the CIA. The graphic novel miniseries, created by Rashida Jones.
Really?
Isn't that kind of interesting?
Yeah, that is.
She gets more and more cooler all the time.
That's very cool.
Okay.
There's an UGG. I haven't read it yet, so
okay.
I'll just be surprised as you say it.
Okay, Ryan Reynolds will star in a comedy about a guy who has to dress up like a woman to befriend his ex and win her back. You know what? It's hard enough to sell Tootsie or Mrs. Doubtfire,
but
when you're trying to win back a person who you've been intimate with, you think they're not going to recognize it's just you dressed up like a girl?
Right.
Why do people make movies like this?
Don't knock Tootsie.
I didn't like that movie.
I loved Tootsie.
I did not like that movie. I thought it was seriously overrated. It's like Birdcage. I don't know why anyone likes that movie. It's
that
a terrible film. So cheesy.
Fossey looks so offended by it.
I'm offended by how bad that movie is. I gotta be honest with you. Will Ferrell will star in a movie called Everything Must Go about a man who loses his job, after which his wife throws all of his stuff out on the front lawn and locks him out of the house, so he spends the next 4 days trying to sell all of his stuff. But one of the interesting things about this movie, it's going to be made for under $10 million. It's pretty low for these days.
Yeah, where's the story?
I guess we'll have to find out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Apparently that's what the other $90 million would have been spent on.
A script. Fox is working on a film version of the story of Moses done in the style of 300.
Ah.
Huh? What?
Ah.
Really? Is Moses going to go around ass-kicking people?
That's what he did.
So is Moses going to have a fight against a guy who was both in Love Actually and Lost, but digitally made to look three times his actual size with a shaved head? Is that what's going to happen?
Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Wow. I'll probably go see it then. Brian Singer wants to make another X-Men movie, which is fine by me because I think the first two were really great. I don't even know who did 3, but I didn't really like 3. Can you look that up? What do you think? Should I go back to Ipanema?
No.
No?
Just hold on 1 second, mister. Well,
but it's not going to be 1 second. It's going to be like half a minute.
I got it.
Brett Ratner. Really?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, that I didn't think that was a good movie. Okay, Toy Story 3's voices will include Kristen Schaal, who I'm pretty sure is not related to Wendy Schaal, and Blake Clark, in addition to...
Who are these people? You're like
look
giving
them
stories
up.
On
look
people...
Look them up. Look them up. Because
well,
I don't know.
No one knows who
that's your job.
Are.
That's what
do
you're
you
supposed to do.
Do you know who these people
are?
No. Then why would you even report this?
Because you're supposed to look them up. That's why. That's why you have a computer sitting in front of you.
Blake Clark. There's two Blake Clarks.
Well, look up the one who's in Toy Story 3, because obviously we don't care about the other one.
Yeah, here he is.
What's he done?
He is, where's the picture of him?
What's he done?
He's done
is he related
American to- Cowslip, Bedtime Stories, Get Smart, Wieners. You know what? Very proud of the way I said that. Wieners. Leatherheads.
You remove the nose plugs
now. I now pronounce
now.
You Chuck and Larry. He's probably,
oh, your favorite movie.
Oh, God. The Benchwarmers.
So he's
in like every Adam Sandler movie. So let's
the Benchwarmers. Was that Adam Sandler?
No, but
would I recognize him? Do you see a picture of him?
Oh, he's an old guy.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Who's the other person?
He's that really old guy.
No. Oh,
like
oh,
look what? Like looks practically like he's dead.
All of a sudden, it went to this Paranormal Activity thing.
Get rid of that. Get rid of that. You don't want to get paranormal stuff on your
computer.
I don't want
to get it.
You know what?
Life.
Because your antivirus will not cover Paranormal Activity. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, who's this other
contractually
person I'm looking up?
Kristen Schaal.
See, I can't believe you'd put...
No relation to Wendy Schaal. I'm
you
pretty
don't
sure.
That.
But look it up. Maybe she is. Remember how much you used to love Wendy Schaal?
Kristen Schaal.
Didn't you used
who's
to love
Wendy Schaal?
Wendy Schaal. Wendy Schaal was the actress who was in Innerspace who worked at the grocery store with Martin Short.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the one who said, oh, God. You know what I'm talking about, right?
The trivia on her, her last name is pronounced Schaal.
Schaal?
Yeah.
Wendy or Kirsten?
Kirsten.
Kirsten?
Kirsten. She's, what's she been in?
I don't know.
She was in a movie called FCU. Fact Checkers Unit.
Excellent.
She's on Mad Men.
She is?
Well, one episode. I don't know any of the things she's been in. See, this is why this story is just...
And they'll be joining Tom Hanks, Joan Cusack, Don Rickles, Wallace Shawn, John Ratzenberger, Estelle Harris, John Morris, Laurie Metcalf, Arlie Ermey, Jodie Benson, Ned Beatty, Michael Keaton, Timothy Dalton, Jeff Garlin, Bonnie Hunt, and Whoopi Goldberg.
The Whoopster.
That's a lot of voices in one movie. Yeah. I think they need one more.
You want it to be Lou Zaccaro, don't you?
I do, actually. Sam Raimi says his World of Warcraft movie will be faithful to the game. Robert Rodat, who wrote Saving Private Ryan, will write.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
Sam Raimi and Robert Rodat. How cool is that? Chris Pine, who of course played Kirk in J.J. Abrams' incredible Star Trek movie, may be the next Jack Ryan.
Yeah? How do you feel about that?
I don't know.
That bugs you, doesn't it?
It does. Well, you know what? It bugs me less than Ben Affleck doing it. I'll tell you that right now. And it actually bugs me less than Harrison Ford doing it because I just, you know, Hunt for Red October was such a great film.
Oh, here we go.
It was. And Alec Baldwin, you know, he created that character.
Right.
So I'm very partial to that. And Harrison Ford, as much as I like Harrison Ford, he was too old when he started it. And he completely overacted the part. And then I don't even know what was going on with Ben Affleck. That was just dumb. But
I won't say anything that Ben Affleck's in. After
what?
That last movie I saw, I won't see anything he's in anymore.
By the way, did you see in the latest, actually, I don't know if it was the latest, in a recent...
I appreciate, by the way, that one of your stories is not that Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are actually related.
What?
They're like, they went back 10 generations and found that they're actually related.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. Through Kevin Bacon?
No, but that's funny.
So did you see in a recent Entertainment Weekly, there was a, by the way, I don't know what happened to my letter. They were going to publish something I sent in, but it didn't show up in this week's episode or issue. I mean.
Episode.
I just hold it in front
Perhaps
of the TV.
You were listening to the wrong magazine.
But in a recent issue of Entertainment Weekly, there was a story about how Jennifer Garner said that Ben Affleck will tell her if jeans actually do make her look fat. And then it's the guy who does that, you know, hot list thing.
Right.
And then he, you know what I'm talking about? Uh-uh. And he wrote in reply to that. And in return, Jennifer Garner will remind him that he was in Geely and they leave it at that. I thought that was great.
On that note, I want to say, you don't watch a lot of Saturday Night Live, do you?
No.
Kristen Wiig does this character called Gilly.
Okay.
Who's a little girl in grade school. She looks all innocent, but she's got like crazy big hair. And like, so like, she'll light, like someone will light something on fire and then they'll go around, did you do that? Did you do that? And then it'll go, Gilly. And then, anyway, Drew Barrymore was on this week and okay. She played her Italian carp. Her Italian counterpart, Gili. It's very funny.
That's pretty funny. Kristen Wiig, we love you so. I'm cool with Chris Pine being the next Jack Ryan. That's fine. As long as the story's good. That's the problem is I just haven't really...
Aren't they all based on books?
Yeah, they're all Tom Clancy novels. But what?
The stories are already done.
Well, that doesn't matter. I mean, did you see all those movies?
No. You're saying as long as the story's good, like, you know.
Well, as long as it's translated into a movie well is what I mean.
Because I
didn't like any of those movies as a movie other than Hunt for Red October.
Right.
I just thought they were all pretty boring. There was one that was Patriot Games was the worst. That was the first Harrison Ford one. And then the next one that he did was, I can't remember.
Do I have to look him up?
Yep.
What's his name?
Just look up Jack Ryan.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. That'll be a little faster. Or did you mean what's Harrison Ford's name? Because then I might have to actually throw something at you.
There's also a Jack Ryan in The Big Bounce.
Okay, not that one.
The Sum of All Fears?
No.
The one with Ben Affleck.
That was the one with Ben Affleck.
I got a little spiel here. Clear and Present Danger.
Clear and Present Danger was okay. I will say that one was okay. But that was really kind of the prime of Harrison Ford's overacting abilities.
Right.
Although, I don't know. He may be getting better as we speak in that respect.
Oh, really?
Which means actually getting worse, right. Of course. But yeah, I mean, Hunt for Red October is such a... You know, that was one of those three John McTiernan movies that was just incredible. And it was such a brilliant movie because really not a whole lot happens in that movie action-wise, but the whole movie is kind of edge of your seat in a sense. You know what I mean?
Right.
Great film.
Oh, that's sad. I didn't know John McTiernan made Rollerball.
That is sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
There is a new promo trailer online for that movie, The Expendables, that you talked about a few podcasts ago. The promo is way too long. It looks like exactly what you think it's going to be.
Does Stallone's face just look ridiculous?
You know what? He always looks the same to me.
Are you kidding?
In movies.
He's had so much work
I haven't really seen him in too many things in the last few years, so I don't.
They may as well just put Wayne Newton in it.
Well, maybe they have. Have you checked to see what he's up to? See if he's in the credits for that.
Everyone else is.
You know, if they're going to do that, I would rather have them do Cannonball Run, another Cannonball Run.
Yeah.
Except that Dom DeLuise, how can you replace him? Oh, because Chef Paul Prudhomme's dead too, right?
I don't know.
Maybe not. If you're related to Chef Paul Prudhomme and he's not dead, I just made that up. So don't take my word for it. All right, do you have anything else about movies?
No.
All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about everything else. Okay, we're back, and we're going to talk about everything else now in the old mashup section.
The moosh moosh.
There you go. Did you say you got some kind of contact about
Mike
the moosh
told moosh? Me that I didn't have to be overly dramatic with it, just as long as I say it. So
okay, good. And I would prefer it if you would say it within the five-second rule. Because I don't want to have to wait, you know, and then make a face.
I said it.
I know, but like a couple times
recently.
But
you're still making a face.
Okay. That's my normal face. Hey, peanut gallery, pipe down over there. Gosh. Okay, Nokia's 920 is leaked, and it has... I don't mean that it's leaked. I mean...
It's leaking all over the place.
I mean pictures of it have leaked. And it has a very iPhone-esque design with a 4.1-inch capacitive touchscreen and allegedly a slide-out keyboard. and it's going to run MAMO 6, which I'm assuming is their operating system, and should be powerful enough to run the full version of Google Wave, which we are sour grapes about over here.
Because someone didn't get an invite.
That's right. Polaroid has done a 180 and now says they'll start making instant film again next year, as well as re-releasing the one-step camera.
Why?
Exactly.
Why would you need to do that?
And you
that?
Know what? You know what else was weird? Well, okay. The only thing that I can see about that is for people who don't want to have to buy like a photo printer, or don't want to have to take the, you know, the camera to you know, the photo place to have prints made and all that kind of stuff. I get it from that standpoint. But what I don't understand is for the last few years, they've been making all these like wacky versions of instant cameras. Like they had this little narrow one that you would take a picture and then it would print it out on this thing that you were supposed to like wear around your wrist.
I remember that. Yeah.
What? Why would I wear a picture around my wrist?
Just to remind you of what a good time.
Of who I am, in case I forget.
What a good time you've been having.
Hey, excuse me, sir. What do you look like? You know, I can't remember, but I have this.
Yeah, in case you're not anywhere near a mirror.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that's me. That's right. I knew that guy looked familiar. Not much happened visibly when we attacked our own moon last week without provocation,
We attacked the moon?
Yeah, we blew something up on it. We smashed into it.
Just to see if there was water?
Yeah, right. See, you knew what I'm talking about. I was kind of disappointed that nothing happened.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You wanted this huge, like, creature to, like...
I did! Well, because, you know, when the story goes that when...
So they found no water.
Well, they're still analyzing it. Oh. You know, this stuff doesn't happen. It's not rocket science, okay? Doesn't happen.
No, actually, it is rocket science.
Oh, you're right. I need
for
to
the
make
setup on that.
I was gonna say I need to make sure I get credit for the setups because that was not.
I just gave it to
okay,
you.
Okay, I'm just saying that
very
was not
good setup.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure I get my props. That's all. No, but you know the story goes that when the first moon landing happened, and this part is not up for debate, but when the first moon landing happened, there was a
I'll debate it.
There was a radio blackout for a few minutes, and a bunch of people who were operating ham radios in different parts of the world. Were able to pick up what wasn't broadcast to the public.
Really?
And they said that, well, yeah, because it's all radio. I mean, Radio is radio. So,
I thought video, though, had killed the radio star.
They did, but that's a different issue.
Oh.
One that has nothing to do with NASA.
Okay.
Or musical youth. But apparently what Neil Armstrong said was that there were other spaceships on the moon already and that they had some contact with them and were told to leave and not come back. And
this is the part that's not up for debate?
No, the part about the radio silence was not up for
debate.
But other people at NASA have said within the last few years that it was widely known within NASA that that conversation did actually happen. And so I was kind of hoping that there was going to be some kind of cool, like, alien something.
Right.
But nothing. Just a little tiny cloud. Nikon's D3S DSLR can shoot up to 102,400 ISO, which is insane. Which means basically it can take pictures.
I don't know what any of this means.
Basically, it means it can take pictures in the dark, which is pretty cool.
What does ISO stand for?
I don't know. It's
really?
Some international standards thing. I don't know. I don't know what it means.
So you don't know everything.
I don't know what. Not about that. It has a 12.1 megapixel full frame sensor, which is very cool, and will also shoot 720p video, and it'll even shoot 7 still frames per second in burst mode, which is pretty great if you're doing like action photography. The Vatican has opened up its collection of astronomical and space-themed artifacts for the first time. The exhibit starts today and runs through January 16th, so if you happen to be going by the Vatican and you
like
globes...
like the Pope's spacesuit?
Yeah, exactly. When he was in NASA that time. Well, didn't he go up in space with Lance Armstrong?
No,
Lance Bass? I can't keep him straight.
Hey, Lance Armstrong was just as good.
I forgot. But there's some pretty cool stuff. If you look online, you can see pictures of some of the stuff. It's pretty cool. And, you know, for a long time, the Vatican gathered all that stuff together and hid it away because they didn't want people to know the truth.
Right.
But the truth is out there. And
because they wanted to create their own truth.
Right. I don't want to take this conversation any further.
I'll leave it alone.
I'm getting uncomfortable now. Dyson has come out with something. What?
Where are you?
I'm inserting something that I forgot to put in the list, if you don't mind. Dyson has come out with a new fan called the Air Multiplier. It looks kind of like a regular fan, except it's got no blades.
It just looks like a circle.
It just looks like a ring.
Yeah.
And it blows air at you.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. What's not cool? It's $300.
Yeah. For a fan.
For a fan. that outputs about as much air as a fan that would cost.
Because really, if you're making a fan but taking off the blades, it should be cheaper than a fan with blades.
There's less parts. Right. Duh. Well, I mean, how long do you think it's going to be before some Chinese company knocks it off and sells it for $49.95 at Walmart? Oh, you know, I didn't put this in there, but I...
You're just making up all kinds of stuff.
No, I read something... I read something today that Walmart is coming out now with an unlimited cell phone plan for $45 a month.
Yeah.
Did you see that? That's crazy. And there's no contract. Unlimited cell phone coverage for $45 a month with no contract.
Right.
Now, does that mean, do you have to use a phone that they sell you, or can you use any phone that works with that network?
Let me tell you. Hold on. For $15 less, users can downgrade to 1,000 minutes, 1,000 texts, and 30 megabytes of web usage.
Right. So $30 a month with no contract
for
1,000 minutes.
It doesn't say about the phone in this one.
Okay. That's amazing, though. Don't you think?
Yeah. It starts October 18th.
Wow. That's Sunday. Right? Sunday? Yeah, that's Sunday. Okay, Amazon's got a new thing called Local Express Delivery that can get products to you the same day you order them. So if you order something from Amazon between 10 and 1 and pay $15 for delivery, you get it that day. How cool is that?
That's extremely cool.
Yeah,
oh,
but it's only available in 7 test cities right now, not including Chicago, because, you know, we're not really that big of a city, I guess.
Compared to Baltimore.
Baltimore, not only that, but Philadelphia, Boston, Vegas, Seattle. Well, Seattle I can kind of understand. But come on, why isn't Chicago on this list? But anyway, I'm sure it's going to do well. $15 is not that much.
No.
Wouldn't you rather pay $15 and have it today than pay...
I just bought something last week that I paid $20 to get it the next day.
So there you go. You are their customer. Literally.
They're idiots.
Well, I didn't really want to insult you. Scientists...
This time.
Not this time, yeah. I'm waiting. I got something later. Scientists put rats into a suspended animation state using hydrogen sulfide gas in small doses, which what's really cool about that is they think that they can apply that to humans too. So, for instance, you could be in a situation where somebody's been injured and in a scenario where normally they would only have minutes to like get them into surgery, now they might have hours instead if they can get it to work on humans. But still, it's a little scary because basically you go into suspended animation because you're practically dead. But apparently they can just reverse it. They give you something else and undo it. Kind of neat, though. Wi-Fi Direct is a new technology that will allow wireless devices to connect peer-to-peer at up to 300 feet. It's coming mid-next year, and what that means is you will not have to have any kind of wireless router. You can have any two devices that use Wi-Fi Direct, and they'll be able to share stuff wirelessly without having to go through a router, which is pretty cool. The first Microsoft store in Scottsdale, Arizona, may open just in time for the release of Windows 7 next week. Or it may not. I'm curious to see what those stores are going to be like, though. You think they're going to open one here? They should open them across the hall from every Apple store. I think that'd be cool. Meanwhile, in reference to Wi-Fi Direct, meanwhile, TransferJet is starting to gain momentum, which operates at 560 megabits per second. Only works from just a few feet away, but it uses very low power, and supposedly it's got some increased security, too. So what that's great for is like if you want to share contacts or share stuff between cell phones, you can just hold them next to each other. And because it doesn't work long range, it's actually more secure than other wireless stuff.
Which reminds me, I want to bring something up. I used the new feature, you know, now that they have the MMS on the iPhone.
Yeah.
You can share contacts. So I can send you a contact.
Okay.
Sends you. It's really cool. I did it the other day. Sends you all the information. So even the picture I have for
that
person.
Oh, that is cool.
Their address, their, you know. All their information.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is cool. That's why I said that a minute ago.
Yeah. Okay. I'm done with you.
Okay, good. Whistler, you know that company that makes radar detectors? Now they have a red light camera detector, which actually should go over really well in England because I understand that's a huge problem over there.
It's a huge problem downtown.
Are there a lot of them?
A ton. There's one at the end of my block.
Well, you know, I got busted down here, right in our very own.
You drive insanely.
I didn't drive insanely, and every other intersection around here that has a dedicated right turn lane has a green arrow pointing right when the street going the opposite way has a green arrow going left. You know what I mean? Because there's no interfering traffic. Well, they turned that off when they put the red light camera in. It was the only intersection that didn't have that then.
Right.
So that's how I got busted.
Yeah. And
I'm a very safe driver. I'm a very safe driver.
I know, but you have a lot of road rage.
But that doesn't mean I'm not safe. That just means I'm angry that other people aren't safe.
It gets you a little agitated.
I would say it gets me a lot agitated.
Yeah. And your driving suffers.
No, my driving does not suffer. He's making that up. My driving has never suffered. Kenwood's cooking chef will make risotto and meringue automagically for only $1,600. It looks like one of those, you know, like countertop KitchenAid.
So it constantly stirs while it's cooking.
I guess so. Yeah, because it's basically like, a countertop mixer with a heating element.
Right. For $1,600.
For $1,600. Aren't those mixers like $180?
What? No, but if I could make my meringue.
Who makes meringue? But risotto, that'd actually be kind of cool. Can't you just do that with like a pot with a battery in it or something?
A battery in it?
You know, to have a little stirry thing.
I don't know. I know. You got to do it by hand.
What?
You got to do it by hand.
No, this machine will do it.
Well, yeah, I'm saying.
Kenwood back in like the 60s, they've always had a product apparently called the Kenwood Chef or whatever, Cooking Chef, whatever this is called. But I think it was on either Gizmodo or one of those, showed one of their old ads. And it says, it's like an illustration or a photo of a man and a woman, you know, very 50s, 60s kind of look. And the guy says something like, you know, the Kenwood Cooking Chef does everything except cook. That's what wives are for. It's hilarious.
That's so Mad Men.
It's really funny. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's really funny. What was next? A crazy glowing... Oh, did you see this? I posted this on pause.com. A crazy glowing cloud ring appeared over Moscow last week, and nobody has any explanation for what it was. Go on to pause.com and look at it. It's bizarro. Because there's video of it. And, you know, some people were saying, oh, it's probably just an optical illusion. Well, that's fine.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
That's fine if it was a stationary picture. But when you're moving at 60 miles an hour in a car and your angle keeps changing and the thing doesn't change at all, it's kind of hard
Someone
to write that.
Someone on the ground
up.
Has a projector.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you for that explanation, Bobby Brady. Yamaha's super creepy HRP4C robot can now sing requests sent to it via the iPhone.
What?
It is
what?
So creepy.
Okay.
It's so creepy.
I got to stop with the ring and find the robot.
Yeah.
Yamaha.
That's a good bumper sticker. Stop with the ring, find the robot. I think I'm going to do that.
What is it, HRP?
HRP-4C. It's so creepy.
Oh, it's that thing.
Yeah. It looks like an anime character.
Right.
Of course, it's a girl wearing a Catholic schoolgirl outfit.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. What's wrong with you Japanese people?
You know what they're doing to that thing when it's closed.
You know what? I don't even want to think about that. When it's what?
When they're closed.
When they're closed. Buffalo, a company that makes, you know, computer stuff, is shipping the first USB 3.0 external hard drive for $225 for 1 terabyte or $284 for 1.5 terabytes. So, you know, USB 3.0, that's the new super fast one.
Fast one.
That nobody has. So if you're one of the few people who is not included in nobody has, then bully for you. The T-Mobile Sidekick. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
The whole T-Mobile Sidekick, like those users through, they lost all their data.
Right.
All their contacts, all their messages, all their photos, all their everything. It's all gone. And now they think it was an inside job that somebody went in and sabotaged the servers because both the servers that store all the
Steve
data.
Steve Jobs.
And you think it was Steve Jobs? Yep. I wouldn't put it past one of his corporate spies, would you?
I know you wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
I don't point the finger like that.
Come on. Remember that story?
I like to live in a peaceful world.
Yeah, right. Remember, okay, Mr. Women shouldn't breastfeed in a bar.
Hey. Oh, we're not even going to go there. I made a joke.
I know. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But remember that story that we talked
about?
But
planes should not allow children. I will stand by that.
Jerk. But remember that story that we talked about where Steve Jobs hired a bunch of people away from Google or whatever, and then he's like, you know what? I don't think we should poach each other's people. So in other words, he likes to do whatever he wants to do and then say, you know what? I don't want to play this game anymore.
Right.
Bastard. Honda is releasing a canine-friendly version of the Element starting on November 16th. So for an extra $1,000 approximately, you get a whole pet accommodation system. It's a nylon-webbed car kennel in the cargo area, plus a soft floor, because the floor in that is usually like a hard plastic, and an integrated ramp so that your dog can go up and down into the car.
Oh, I want that.
The Element starts at about $20,500 before the dog-friendly add-on. So if you have a dog and you're thinking about a new car and you like something that looks like a giant Lego set, then that might be for you. Yamaha's TSX W80 is a retro-styled clock radio with a wireless iPod dock. There's also a dock on top of the radio in case you want to charge your iPod or iPhone. It's shipping in Japan in December, and there's no price set for it yet. And you want to talk about the next one? Because you're the one who brought it to my attention.
Yeah. Did you research it to make sure I wasn't making it up?
Yes. That's why I wrote it here.
Okay. Viper is an iPhone app that'll let you start your car with your iPhone from anywhere you have cell service. It requires the Viper Smart Start hardware module to be installed on your car and matched to the app. It'll also do things like turn on the heat, unlock the doors or trunk, turn on or off the alarm. I would like to mention that when Gizmodo posted
I loved all the emotion you put into that read, by the way.
Well, because I hadn't read it, but, you know, I didn't get to practice.
Yeah, but you could have just talked about it. You already know about it. I just put that there so I wouldn't forget the details.
Oh. Yeah, I could have done that.
Anyway.
But I love when Gizmodo posted this, which, by the way, this is really cool, I think.
Yeah.
But when Gizmodo posted this, someone had put, it would be bad. What was the way they put it? Anyway, they said that you would be stranded if you lost your phone or the battery died. And my response to that was, what about the keys?
Yeah, of course. See, once again, Tony, good at math.
Not so good at speaking or reading.
The Ad Astra rocket company just finished testing the most powerful plasma engine on Earth. They say that while this version is only 200 kilowatts, they can make a 20 megawatt version that would get a spaceship from Earth to Mars in 39 days. Which is awesome because right now, the technology that NASA uses, it would take about 6 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's far away.
I didn't realize it was that far.
It's very far. T3 has announced their gadget award winners. Of course, you can go to T3.com to see what they all are. But the big winner was the HTC Hero, which is a really cool looking phone. It runs the Android, the Google Android.
What are the other award winners?
You can go on T3.com and see them all, which is, I'm pretty sure, what I just said. Do you want to go over them all?
Not all of them, but I'm going to look at what they are.
Okay. See, now I should hum something British.
Are you sure it's T3.com?
No. Could be T3.
I got the Oriental Trading Monster Mashup.
Oh, try T3.co.uk. Or T3magazine.com. You know, I can't remember now. I feel bad.
T3micro.com?
No.
No.
Definitely not that.
T3motion.com?
No.
Terminator 3 Rise of the
Machines? No, just go to T3.co.uk.
What?
Do you still read that magazine?
No, it's too expensive. T3 what?
.co.uk.
Co as in K-O?
No.
I know.
My lord.
This isn't a very pretty website.
Is it theirs? I don't think we want to be dissing them.
Oh, that's right. They're friends of ours. Of the show, aren't they?
They're friends of ours.
They're not sponsors of the show.
No, we don't have any sponsors yet.
Yeah. Those of you looking for shows to sponsor.
Those of you looking to spend money. By the way, did you hear that Google's revenues for the last quarter were up? Like they made like a gazillion dollars.
Yeah.
From ad revenue. Well, that's a good sign that the economy's turning around because that means people are willing to spend money on advertising again. That's always a good indicator.
I don't say anything about the awards.
Okay. You know what? We're moving on. Sony's new Vaio L line of all-in-one PCs can be powered up solely as a TV without turning on the computer part, which is actually pretty cool. Because it's $1,300, so for that you get a 24-inch multi-touch touchscreen with Blu-ray and DVR software, and then you can just use it just as a TV without booting up the PC part. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
And that's not a bad price.
No.
And everybody who I know absolutely loves their Sony computers. So I used to have a Sony computer, and I actually had some trouble with it.
Yeah?
Yeah. One of our other staffers here is experiencing similar woes with her Sony computer. So that's all I got for the Moosh Moosh. You got anything else?
No.
Are you still here?
I'm looking at the Gadget Awards. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, did you want to say something?
Commuter Gadget of the Year was the iPhone 3GS.
I think the iPhone also won for Gadget You Cannot Live Without. I think it's in there for that as well.
So wait, what did you say? You said that...
The overall winner, the Gadget of the Year, went to the HTC Hero, which is the last one that they list.
Oh, the last one.
Yeah. Hold you know, they always save the best for last. You know how that goes.
Yeah, Whitney Houston. That's what she does.
No.
She saves the best for last.
No, but Whitney Houston herself is not the best. She's the worst.
No. Well, that's because of crack.
It's because of crack. Crack so, will do that to you.
Yeah. So speaking of the iPhone.
Yeah. Are we going right into our best and worst? Now, as always, it's time for our votes for our best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Tony, as always, begin with your worst.
My worst entertainment of the week. Well, right here on T3, it says the iPhone is the gadget you can't live without. You know what I can live without?
Your iPhone?
I can live without my iPhone consistently.
Deleting all your music?
Well, it doesn't delete it, but it just doesn't let me access it.
Oh, so it's still there? You just can't get to it?
Yeah, once I sync it back up to my computer. I mean, it doesn't, like, load it back on. It updates the index or whatever it's doing.
Okay, well, that's actually coincidental because ever since the last iTunes update, the first time I synced my iPhone after that update, I had no playlists anymore. So I couldn't access any of my music. Oh. Not even one song by Harry Connick Jr. like you.
Yeah.
I had nothing. I didn't even have the theme song for the A-Team, which sometimes plays mysteriously on my iPhone.
Mysteriously when you bring it up and press play?
No, I'm telling you.
Why do you have that on your iPhone?
That's unimportant.
That's my worst entertainment moment of the week.
The real issue here is that why would my iPhone all of a sudden start playing the theme song from the A-Team?
I don't know. What exactly is... I'm going to kill myself for asking
dun,
this.
Dun, 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 dun. That's the theme song from the A-Team. You think they're going to carry that over to the film?
I don't know.
Starring Jessica Biel as the army sergeant who wears miniskirts in malls. As do most army sergeants.
Right.
I'm sorry, she's not a sergeant. She's a general. So, of course, the miniskirt makes sense.
Right.
So I also not happy with the iPhone.
Yeah,
however,
it's janky.
And that is not even my worst entertainment moment of the week. Mine is that our DVR, remember when I had this issue with our DirecTV DVR, called DirecTV, they sent a small army out to my house to fix it.
Right.
Yeah, it failed completely on Sunday. Wouldn't even boot up. I mean, it would boot up and it would say, sorry, it's busted. And then it said, call DirecTV and give them this code. And there was like some 5-digit code there. And so I got in touch with them again, and they told me they were going to send me a new box, which they did. It arrived yesterday. But in the meantime, you know, what were we going to do? Go 4 days without recording any shows? I don't think so.
No, you don't live like that.
No, that's not how I roll.
No.
So I went over to the local Best Buys, as my dad would say, and I picked me up one of them, their extraterrestrial hard drives, and with the eSATA on it. And, you know, you can get a 1.5 terabyte drive for like $180.
Because that you really needed that much.
Well, why not? It's $180. If you're talking about storage for your DVR, why wouldn't you? I mean, the 2 gigabyte one was like $399. The 1.5, $180.
Terabyte.
Yeah, 1.5 terabyte.
It's a gigabyte.
Oh, sorry. So I mean, we have like 20 hours of stuff on there right now. You know how much we got left? 99%.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
That's very cool.
So I would highly recommend.
Especially how mine right now is at like 97%.
Right, because you record commercials and it says 50% full.
What?
I mean, seriously, like the hard drive that came with it, it must be like a 10 gigabyte hard drive or something.
Yeah.
It's cheapo. And apparently it's super cheap because it failed completely. And here's the other weird thing. Ever since I replaced the hard drive, less glitching too. There's still some glitching every now and again, but I mean, it's dropped off by, I would say it's 90% less than it used to be, which is pretty amazing. So I think the hard drive in there just couldn't keep up. I wouldn't be surprised if they use like a 5,400 RPM hard drive instead of like a 7,200 one.
Right.
But yeah. Highly recommend if you use DirecTV to use an eSATA hard drive, because the only thing that you have to look out for is all of your like your season passes and all that stuff is stored on the hard drive. So when you connect the new hard drive, it doesn't use both. It just uses the external one. So all of your record and to-do lists are all gone and you'll have to set them up again.
Oh, I see.
So that, you know, so actually my worst entertainment moment is that because of that, we missed a bunch of shows this week. Like, we didn't see last night's Community, and that's why we didn't see Flash Forward. So now I'm going to have to watch them online. And I tried to watch Flash Forward online this morning before you got here so that I could be caught up on it.
Right.
And I couldn't get it to play. I couldn't get last night's episode to play, even though I could get the previous episodes to play. So I don't know if maybe they were just having too much traffic or what was going on.
I don't have an answer for you.
Okay, that's fine. You weren't even listening, so it doesn't really matter. So what about your best entertainment moment?
My best. You know, I'm juggling between two, but I'm going to go with the thing I haven't talked about. Last Friday, I went and I saw Kathy Griffin in concert.
Ah.
And
I've seen her
a number of times.
Yeah.
But I have to say, this was probably the funniest time.
Really?
But I will say...
Is this at the Chicago Theater?
This is at the Chicago Theater.
Yeah.
Very funny.
My agent was giving away 2 tickets to go see it.
Should have gone.
I know. Well, baby.
Leave the baby at home.
You cannot take a baby to see Kathy Griffin.
You only had 2 tickets.
Yeah, you can't see a baby. You can't take a baby. We all know what happens when Kathy Griffin gets around kids.
Yeah.
Bad stuff.
She actually talked about that.
Oh, did
but,
she?
Yeah. but she's very funny. I mean, I won't. One thing she said that I thought was really funny, like, you know, the whole Taylor Swift thing with Kanye West.
Yeah, right.
She's like, you know what? I it's funny how people were all up in arms and how everyone was like, oh, I feel sorry for her. She's like, she's going to be okay. Like, if anything, this will always be a little side note, and it's, like, boosted her, you know, publicity.
Right.
She goes, right now, she goes, I would have loved if that happened to me. She goes, right now, I'm thinking about paying 50 cents to just graze me with a bullet. So
that is pretty funny.
She's funny.
She is funny.
And what I was not funny.
I'd like to see her in concert sometime. You know, live.
Yeah, she's great. And
can you call that a concert? Not really.
Live?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're right. Maybe perform it's not a concert. Live.
But
yeah,
whatever.
Whatever. What was not funny was the girl who sat behind me who had the worst laugh. Yeah. And laughing at things that weren't funny, just laughing to laugh. And she just kept going, oh my God, this is so much better than I thought it would be.
She kept saying that during the performance?
Yeah. Or no, not so much better than I thought it would be. So much better. This is even better than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
That's what she said, but aggravating.
Apparently never left her home before that evening.
No.
That's weird.
I blame the guy who brought her.
Yeah.
He knew she was that way. Why would you bring her to a public place?
Yeah, I don't know. Why would you be her friend, for that matter?
Exactly.
Because you know that...
Well, she might be good at other things.
Why would you go too far? Why would you even say that? But, you know, she could be the cackler.
Oh, I would have paid for the cackler to sit in her seats.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, pay attention sometime when you go out to eat. At any kind of restaurant that's a sit-down restaurant. And whenever you see a big group of women going in to eat at a restaurant, it's 99% guaranteed that one of the women in that party will be
the cackler.
The person who's laughing louder and longer than anyone else in the restaurant just to draw attention to themselves. What's up with that phenomenon? It's universal. Right?
Yeah.
You get that where you work? You don't really work in a restaurant, though, right now.
No, but there are certainly cacklers.
Yeah. Oh, you get the cacklers even?
Well, I mean, it's a little louder atmosphere, so yeah.
Yeah, cacklers. Sure.
Whatever. I mean, we are more loungy.
Yeah, but. That's true. My best entertainment moment has to be last night's Office. There were so many funny moments in there, but I think my favorite was when they were at the restaurant in the scene that Deborah was in, and she comes over to take their order, and Michael goes, I will have the gabagool. She's like, what? I don't know what that is. And then Dwight and Andy both chime in that they want the gabagool too.
And I like how Dwight then says the story, gabagool.
Gabagool. Like he's trying to correct her. Like how could you be so stupid as to not know what we're talking about? That was such a great moment and very funny and very Steve Carell. And that's pretty much it. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right, cool.
That's it.
Well, thank you as always for tuning in, everybody, and I hope you enjoyed the interview with Deborah. And don't forget, you can send email to us at podcast@pause.com. Visit us on Facebook, leave us a review on iTunes, and we will see you next week.
Bye.